It's the Tiltcast, episode 128. Ladies, have we got this episode for you. It's Turtles in a Soft Shell.
Penis power!
This week we talk about Injustice, Mass Effect 3 DLC, Zombie U, Bioshock Infinite,
retractable bow,
and every other piece of useless information you could ever want.
Detachable penis.
Stay tuned. That's a good song.
Stay tuned.
And then welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast, where my dick makes portal sounds. I think that was the blue portal. Anyways, and this is Trent.
It's shrinking.
It's shrinking, yes. It actually just went inside me.
It was cold outside. So,
turtling.
Actually, my project manager at work today was going like, you know, I knew this lawyer guy, really smart dude, lawyer, and he dated this girl I knew, and she dumped him because she found out that he really believed there was a retractable bone in the genitals that made the dick hard.
Oh.
And I was like, how old was he? He was like, oh, that was just like last year. He was like 30 something. He's a lawyer. The guy can litigate like a motherfucker, but he thinks there's a retractable bone in the genitals. Anyways, this is Trent. Over here is Justin.
What up?
Over there is Earl.
What's up, guys?
Over there's Jason.
Sup?
And we are the Tiltcast. So, let's just jump right into this. Earl, what have you been doing this week? Let's get to the end.
I have been preparing for the in-laws coming in from Pennsylvania.
Now, when you say in-laws, do you mean blood-sucking vampires?
No, I mean Mennonites. Mennonites.
Oh, wow.
Coming from Mennonite country, USA. I am ready. I love them. They're bringing awesome gifts, homemade stuff. Apparently, her mom and the other woman, Naomi Faye, who watches the ladies, has been baking like fresh breads for me. Oh. We'll become fatter than hell over this weekend, but
nice.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Bioshock Infinite though. I got to the part with the I call them gondolas. That's not what they are, but you got to control the bird creature. So you got you get to fight those off. And I had a solid like 6 hour gameplay the other morning.
Oh wait, you're at the part where you're on the airship.
Yes.
You're right at the end.
Ah, I knew it.
Yeah.
I had a feeling.
Oh, no, it's epic.
The Asylum was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Don't say much about it.
No.
But what did you think when you went outside on the edge?
Yes.
That was pretty badass. So at that point, you're just like, wow, that's awesome.
I'm digging it. I died a couple times, and it was like 4 in the morning. I had to be up at like 7.
Well, those assholes with the Washington mask on or whatever the fuck, I can't even.
Those guys are rough.
Yeah, they suck. And
they
the dudes
really
with the lights for the heads.
But there's a way you don't have to fight them.
Yeah, and
I had to wait and see it and did it. But I messed up a couple times and the thing shrieked at me.
Yeah.
And then they came at me like little
Oompa Loompas. Yeah.
And that just made me mad. So, yeah.
It's basically a stealth level for those out there, yeah.
It is.
And they don't give you shit for weapons. I think you actually lose pretty much.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I think I had my sniper. No, I had a rifle on me at the time, which with a scope. And I was just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
That's really.
You'll lose bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about the only thing that you'll get from that is losing bullets.
Yeah.
And then you have to it's crap after you get to a certain part and you're just like, you need to stop. But no, that's what I've been doing, so not much.
Well, even though it's the end of the game, you probably still have about 30 minutes left.
That's
just
fine. I'll probably have to do it before
the
Wednesday. Yeah, because
just pop it. You'll finish it in an hour. Just pop it on.
Well, the reason why is I won't be able to have the TV on over the weekend with the in-laws coming over, so I got to do it Wednesday night.
Yeah,
but besides that, that's all I've really been doing. And also I have to make a thing from the other day when I was talking, when we were talking about Nicolas Cage. The comic book superhero was Luke Cage.
Oh, yeah.
And Anderson Cooper is not a Rockefeller, he's a Vanderbilt. Yeah. Jenny MC from Elseworld commented on that and told me those two bits of information.
Nice.
So
nice.
Just give her a shout out there. But that's about all I got.
Okay, well, you shouted.
I did shout.
What have you been up to, Mr. Cellphone?
Not much.
Porn.
Working.
Yeah.
Working in porn.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what you'd be doing.
Got to work out that right arm muscle. What can I say?
Nothing at all?
No, not much. Too much work, not enough games.
All right.
Did you get around any games?
Huh?
Did you get around any?
No.
That's rough. This week was
super busy. I had to be at work an hour and a half early 3 days last week, so.
That's for you.
What have you been up to, Justin?
A little bit of games.
Okay. Like what?
you know how you get into that moment where you just don't know what to play, and you just start to spin your wheels, and it's like, fuck, I don't know what I want to do, and then I was getting bored with not knowing what to do. And I broke down, I started playing Dragon's Dogma, because I know that Dark Arisen comes out tomorrow.
That's true.
I was working on my new game, Plus. I was like, you know what, I'm not really feeling this, but I am feeling some RPG. What do I play? And I was like, you know what? There is a lot of Mass Effect DLC that I have not done.
I heard that Mass Effect DLC, I listened to No Quarters. They said it's amazing.
Yeah, and that's actually what... I will give a shout-out to another podcast. No Quarters, you guys convinced me that I need to play the Mass Effect Citadel DLC. I have not quite got to the Citadel DLC. I've gotten through Leviathan and Omega Station, though.
Oh, I want to play that so bad.
What did you think of Leviathan, the ending?
Leviathan was a little creepier than I thought it would be.
It's pretty cool, though.
But it is pretty cool. I dug it, and it was, what is it, about 4 hours long?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 3-4 hours. I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I started like a brand new character, too, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my Mexican Shepherd back through the whole game again. And he was level 58 when I started, and quickly I made it to level 60. So I went the max level character. Like, I started and did like 2 quick missions and then jumped straight into Leviathan. And that unlocked more weapons and, of course, unlocked more story, which is cool. Kind of got me reinvigorated into playing Mass Effect again. And then
nice.
I jumped straight into Omega Station, like, right after that. So, like, all of Saturday I played Leviathan and Omega Station, which both are pretty pricey. I will say that. Omega Station was, like, what, $15 or...
Yeah.
And so was Leviathan, I think, was only $10, but Omega Station was $15 as well. And Omega Station was definitely worth it. I had a lot of fun with that. It's, again, not quite the horror side of things like the other one was, but kind of dealt with more of Arya's story, and I kind of wanted to get back into that, and it kind of brings that back around to what happened with that whole thing.
Yep.
And I really didn't want to go into, like, I thought I'll pick up on one of my save games that's, like, really late in the game and then play the DLC and that's it. And after I started playing, it's like, you know what? I can play this again and have a lot of fun. I want to play it, though, in the context of having that DLC, having that extra story, because I haven't gotten to do that in a long time. Like, I looked at my last save, and it was 3/12/2012. Like, it'd been a long time since I played single player.
3/12?
Yeah.
That's over a year ago.
Over a year ago. So, when jumping back in was kind of a delight. Like, I realized how much I still like Mass Effect 3.
Did you get my message?
Yeah, what the fuck? I got your fucking message. Go hit it. Just push the far left little switch on the underside to the right, and that should be cool.
This one?
No, on the bottom. Far right.
This one? Right here?
Yeah. And push it to, push it to the right.
Oh. There you go.
And it'll turn on when it gets...
I didn't want to interrupt his story.
Whatever.
I was trying to be cool and not interrupt Jackson. No, Facebook Messenger. I don't have his phone number. He's like, I don't give it up to strange people.
So...
Well, you do qualify.
I know.
So, that being said, though, like, I went through Omega Station, had a pretty good time with that, and then, I don't know what's up, like, I saved Toon Chaka, and, you know, cleared the Genophage and all that other bullshit, and I don't know how to start Omega Station right now. I guess you gotta wait till maybe Act 2, when the whole game changes.
Press a button.
Well, I'm sure you press a button.
It's yeah.
Start.
Shut up. No, it's nothing like that. Like, the other ones were like, you got an email from...
Aria. No, it is after Act 2, if I remember right, for Omega Station Trip.
Have you already played it?
I haven't played the Omega one. I haven't done any Mass Effect 3 DLC other than Leviathan. So I've just been so big. I know, it's a sin. I know it is.
Oh, dude. Yeah, well, if I remember right, it's after Act 2.
And that's kind of what I'm hoping. So I'm kind of speeding my way to Act 2, though. I know with... We got Dead Island Riptide coming out tomorrow. I already got it pre-downloaded.
Yep.
I'll be playing that tomorrow. And then I also got Dark Arisen that I'm picking up tomorrow. So next week will be an epic week of game. I'm also thinking about picking up Star Trek. I think I'm going to look at a few more previews before I decide if I'm going to drop another $50. But I don't know. I really like Star Trek. And I really want to like a game.
Star Trek.
Like, I really want to like a Star Trek game. And like, I'm looking at it like, that might be kind of fun. But I don't know yet. So, I mean, they're so big, there's no way they'd give me a free copy. But
all I know is, God bless Ricardo Montalban, because if it wasn't for him, I never would have opened the door to Star Trek or any sci-fi ever.
Have you seen that Robot Chicken thing where they do the whole opera, the Khan opera?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Khan!
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 My mom had the
had the biggest crush on him.
I like when they're doing the Spock and him talking to the Britannic's glass thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like how big his freaking ears.
He's little Spock. Fucking rocks.
Such an epic. That's like the best robot chicken ever. I probably watched that more at work than I did.
I remember you and I were sitting here watching Robot Chicken. And they had the one where E.T. finally gets back on the ship.
Oh, that one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they say, well, it's going to be a long ride home. Hope you got something to entertain yourself. He just puts his neck out and bends over and starts throwing himself. And I just, like, about spit shit out of my mouth and walked out of the room. I was like, oh, my God. It's
such a good, like 5 second gag.
I just about choked it out.
I think the wrongest one I ever saw in Robot Chicken was the bear that does the dryer sheet snuggles.
I was about to say that.
That was the wrongest one I ever saw.
Ugly, ripply soft, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so soft, I must get in it.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What?
Yeah.
No.
That's pretty funny.
That was the wrongest one I've ever seen up in any robot.
No, they had a couple others with some dead babies.
Well, that was up at work because Danny used to work nights, and we'd put on Robot Chicken because he enjoyed it. But he'd watch Family Guy, and then he'd end up leaving, and then Robot Chicken came on right after that. So I was like typing, I was doing my thing. I looked up and I was like, I turned it up. And I was like, that's a Snuggles thing. And all of a sudden I heard, and I was like, oh, that is. I'm gonna turn that down. No one else was there but the cleaning crew, and they all happened to be ladies. I was like, I'm turning it down. Okay, I'm just gonna turn you off. I'm just gonna turn you off. But yeah, it was funny. I was like, I can't unsee that.
All right, so what else have you been doing?
Honestly, that's the biggest thing that I've been doing, just kind of preparing for games this week. Because, oh, fuck, before I forget, Injustice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
I've played the crap out of Injustice.
I told Jenny and them to listen, because you would probably review that this week. So
two of my favorite game designers of all time. Ed Boon and recently acquainted Brian LeBaron. I say recently acquainted. I made acquaintance with him up at PAX and talk with him occasionally. And he kind of told me, like, his involvement with things. And, like, getting into that game, like, I see some similarities between Mortal Kombat, but it's not Mortal Kombat. Like, the moves are different than Mortal Kombat. There's not finishers. It's kind of like a... Like, I don't know. Has anybody here played Marvel vs. Capcom or, like, gotten really deep into it? You know, like, how you have, like, a super move, you click a couple of buttons, and they do, like, a power-up move from your charge bar? It does that.
Oh, okay.
But, like, you can use those for other things. So, like, a lot of those other games, you can do a super move, and then, in combination, hit your right trigger, and it makes a more powerful version of that attack, but it uses up, like, a third of that power bar. So the power bar fills up by you doing special moves or blocking special moves. And I want to say just the level design on that is just something out of this world. Like, if you guys remember, like, Mortal Kombat kind of had sort of destructible environments and you'd go into the next area.
Yep.
That was really cool. Well, this takes it to a whole new level. Like, if you do, like, a really hard kick at certain parts of the level, you'll knock them, like... So I was playing Batman. Of course I was playing Batman.
If you can always... And if you can choose to be Batman.
Well, I'm not very good with him, but I was playing Batman and I was fighting Aquaman. Because I wanted to kick Aquaman's ass.
Aquaman's a douche.
And
I only like one Aquaman, and it's the Kingdom Come version, which was actually cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One was a totally different Aquaman.
Yeah, but the Kingdom Come version is like the Aquaman who actually has balls.
I know, yeah. And he's dressed up like a fucking knight with a giant fucking... Yeah. He's cool as shit.
Yeah.
And in the story, he's fucking badass. Regular Aquaman sucks ass.
Yeah.
He sucks.
Pretty much.
Well, I only have one Aquaman statue.
It's like the regular Aquaman is like Aquaman portrayed by Burt Ward.
This is the Aquaman dad that would beat the fuck out of the other Aquaman.
You're a pansy.
It's like, you're wearing tights.
Play football.
Yeah, it's like, how's those Daisy Duke fit? You know, stuff like, it looks like you're wearing little Daisy Dukes. You know?
In the mud.
He's the masculine, very like... close-minded, abusive father version of Aquaman, and that's cool.
That drinks every night.
He lives underwater. Of course he drinks all the time. Hey, so,
liquored up.
That's how he gets fucking oxygen.
You disappoint me.
So I was going to say, like, I kicked him into the side of a building, and not only does he go to the side of the building, he shoots up through, like, five buildings up to the rooftop.
Yeah.
Well, shoots up over the rooftop. There's another one where you do, like, you'll kick...
That makes a badass, that's why.
Like, it's insane. So, like, there's transitions like that. Like, in Arkham Asylum, you'll kick them, and then Like, he goes into an elevator, drops down to the basement, and then rolls out, and it counts for, like, four or five extra hits.
Nice.
So there's little things in it like that. But Batman didn't end up being my favorite to play. My favorite to play actually was Aquaman.
Oh, did he send guppies to attack me?
No, no.
Aquaman is my minions.
Aquaman does like... He does like... He has to like to have super moves. And Batman, like
Flounder Punch!
No, he's legitimately badass looking, so kind
of
like...
This is the load of crappy.
Sorry. No, the Injustice Aquaman would be a lot like the Kingdom Come Aquaman. Yeah,
he's got the big trident. He's got the beard.
Does he have the tunic on?
I can't remember. I'm not into comics like some of my friends are as much, but he's definitely a cooler looking Aquaman. And his attack is that he's got a special that's actually really cool. So like your charge up special for Aquaman is like call a tidal wave, stab the dude in the chest, lift the trident up, and a shark swings by and then comes in and like grabs the dude.
Nice.
So which was kind of cool.
He's giving some back to his homies.
Yeah. It's like dropping a 40 of old E.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, thanks for the hole last night. Here's your dinner.
Yeah. I fucked your porpoise hole.
So I had a lot of fun with Aquaman. I have a hard time admitting that, but I had a lot of fun with him.
No, sir. You didn't have a hard time admitting that at all. You admitted that way too freely.
Yeah, you did.
So I played a lot. I used Flash quite a bit. I got pretty good at Flash. Flash is kind of funny. Like they all have like their own kind of like move set when they're idling, and he's so fast while he's idling. He's just like bouncing. He looks like an ADD kid on, well, not on speed because it kind of counterdoes what does it. But yeah, he's like a crack addict. Like he is just like bouncing all over the place when he's idle, and his super move is like he hits the dude and then goes all the way around the earth, and then comes back and like hits him again in the back, which is actually really cool.
That's cool, Summer.
So, like, there's some really badass supers. Batman's, if you've watched any of the trailers, is he, like, shocks him with a taser, and then...
Don't tase me, bro!
Yeah. So he shocks him with a taser, kicks him, and then does a backflip, and then his Batmobile comes by and, like, rams the dude across the screen.
Where he calls the Batmobile on his little wrist thing first, and then that comes through.
Yeah. Like, is that the cool Batmobile, like, off of the new movies, or is it the old school Batmobile?
No, it's like a mix. Yeah.
Is it?
Nice. It's got some big-ass fins on it.
It looks like the Tim Burton one, though, because it's elongated.
Yeah, it's very elongated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that looks pretty cool, but, like, I mean, I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, I'm still playing it. The story mode took me about 5 hours, which I actually was expecting a longer story mode, because Mortal Kombat, the newest one, the story mode on that's like 28 hours long. It's
story mode was a bitch.
Well, and it takes so many facets, and they do something like that with Injustice. So, like in Mortal Kombat, you had like the seamless story mode or story pieces. So it wasn't a cinematic, but with in-game engine, and they played the cinematic out, and then it would go to a fight, and the camera angle changes while seamlessly, and as the camera angle's changing, it's starting the fight, and you see the health bars pop up. And which I thought, yeah, that was a good idea to pull that back. Apparently, there's a spectator mode just like Mortal Kombat, which I'm totally on board with.
Yeah.
They made Superman kind of a badass. Like, I still hate Superman. He's a dick. But he is, it's the Red Sun Superman.
Yes, the one I was telling you. Yeah, that's so really cool.
He's an asshole.
Well, of course he is. He landed in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, but, like, he's a.
Daughter Russia.
So, and that's part of the overarching story.
Speaking from the guy who looks like the Russian.
Well, so... Anyways, moving forward from that, like, Superman actually has a pretty badass super. Like, his is... Pick up the guy, like, just drag his ass out into space, and then get out into space and do, like, an axe punch and knock him all the way back down on the ground, which is really cool. So, I mean, lots of stuff like that. I played, used Solomon Grundy quite a bit for a while just to kind of get used to him, and he has the whole, the whole thing where he's got the knives and sharp-edged items stuck in his back you can pull across and hit people with. And man, overall, it's such a solid game. Like, the fighting mechanics work really well. Most of the moves are fairly similar. It's not Street Fighter. Like, you don't do the rolling moves. A lot of it is, like, back-forward or back-back or back and then down and around kind of thing. Like, it's not... But none of them are, like, 15 things to do one thing. Like,
That's what I hated when you do, like,
a finishing move, and it's like 33
button. Yeah, it wasn't Tekken. It was the not even Mortal Kombat. What was the fighting game?
The Soul Calibur?
Yeah, like Soul Calibur, where you had to be like, your whole hand gets all cramped up and
Soul Calibur takes some getting used to. I got fairly good. I got Soul Calibur. I'm pretty good
at it. Well, there's nothing wrong with Soul Calibur, but that's what I'm saying. You have to do that whole left, right, up, down, back, when your hand turns into a claw and it cramps because you got to do like 18 moves.
Tekken gets like that sometimes too, but like Tekken is more like about, like I've been playing a lot of that too. Like I've been playing a lot of fighting games. And Tekken kind of has that whole thing. Like I've been playing the newest one that came out on Wii U a few months back. And it's kind of, the moves are fairly organic. Like it feels like if I'm going to rush a guy, then I can also follow it up with this move and chain it with this move. Like you can chain your supers together. But just to say real quickly, the new Tekken is pretty badass. I will say that. But moving back to Injustice, I actually think Injustice is better. It's just really solid. Like a lot of the moves feel really natural. You're going to follow up like your uppercut with a super, and it's easy to do the super. It's just, it takes some getting used to because they're a little bit different than what you're used to. But there's not a lot of like hold this or whatever. There's a lot of like, they're in the tutorial modes. It'll kind of tell you how to do, all right, so do these basic combos like XXA, and then from XXA move into XXAY, and then XXAY moves into XXAY, back, forward, punch kind of thing. Like you can chain those together and you get used to that. You start chaining stuff and juggling people. Which is really cool. So it's like overall, like it's like everybody has a power too, which is kind of cool. Like obviously they have powers, they're superheroes, but like Batman has like a swarm of bats thing that he can call down and can kind of use for defensively. Nice. Harley Quinn has a series of buffs that she uses that are randomized. It's like she rolls the dice and she gets like extra power to attacks or whatever. Bane has his venom. Like you can use his venom 3 times during any one match. But once you're done with the venom, like he's weaker. He doesn't hit as hard, and then he also gets hit harder. So you'll get an advantage up front, and if you can take somebody out quickly, it works. But afterwards, he's like normal. But yeah, I don't know. The only thing I would find wrong with it is this is the story mode felt sort of short compared to other offerings like Mortal Kombat being really long. And I don't know if that's because I got feedback from reviewers saying that, hey, that was too long with story mode, but I thought it was epic as shit when they did that. So
it was epic, but they also chained, you know, Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 together and added elements from 3 that just weren't in a single game before.
Yeah, I just, you know, Injustice, though, like, saying it's not Mortal Kombat, like I said, there's no finishing moves. There are these things they call wager matches. And
that's what I was telling him about.
So, like, they have these things called wager matches, and what that is like you guys will both get into a combo and kind of hit it at the same time.
When they cut her hair off.
And when you do that, you basically have whatever your charge bar is at. So, like, say you have 3 bars left, you can hit X to wager that last charge bar. So you'll wager all 3, and then the other person will wager whatever. And then, based on, it's kind of like playing rock, paper, scissors. Like, based on whoever won, wins that wager, and you get 15% health back or whatever. So, but the matches are fairly short. Like, you know, if you play through the basic online, or the basic battle thing, which is like 10 guys, it takes about 15, 20 minutes. And you can do that for all 20 characters or however many there are.
Really?
And they're planning on adding extra characters, but the character selection so far I wasn't disappointed with. Hawkeye, played a shitload of Hawkeye. Was pretty badass. But yeah, I ended up liking freaking Aquaman the best.
Anybody watch that's off subject. We didn't watch the Patton Oswalt rant they did for Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, I keep hearing about that. I posted it on my Facebook.
Greatness. Yeah. That was greatness. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So that's funny about the Whisperer.
Yeah.
Right,
there it is. Yeah. So is that all you've been doing?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing. I will say, anybody that likes fighting games and also likes comics, really they took it over the top with Injustice. I can't think of anybody that was better to do this. Now, I know some of you comic junkies will probably be like, well, they didn't do this or that right. I'm interested to hear some of that. I don't know, did they do that at all? Because you were just on
Elseworlds.
Did they talk about the variety of things from Injustice versus...
Well, Jenny MC was talking about getting it because she says she always gets the comic games. Video games. And they had talked a little bit and was wondering if it was going to be like Mortal Kombat and stuff.
And I told him that you said you had beaten the story mode already. He's probably going to be reviewing it today. But they said that she said she'd buy it and give it a try and see what it was like. And they talked a little bit about the Marvel vs. Capcom and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd be interested in what they say about it since they have so much more comic knowledge than I do. Because I know some of them game too. I mean, we all talk with it. I talk with most of those guys on a regular basis.
So yeah. There was another one. There was Marvel vs. Capcom. Then there was Capcom versus I can't remember what the fuck it was. It was Japanese. They did Kashern, Wakashana.
Oh,
yeah.
I know they did. Didn't they do a Capcom versus Neo Geo or something like that? Or
I can't remember. They did. But there was another one that did was Capcom versus somebody, and it had Kashana in it. You know, Kashern. And that was on the Wii that I played it, and that was actually really fucking fun, because I got to play as Kashyyyk, and so I was happy. Because I love Kashyyyk, the original anime stuff, but I also like the movie Kashyyyk that they put out.
Yeah, John loaned that to me about six or seven times.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the few movies I really like that are kind of like that.
It's a fantastic fucking movie, it's great.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's like I have the double disc version I watch every once in a while. It's a fucking, I have the extended unrated, yeah. I remember I bought it from the actual website when it first came out years ago, and it was the triple disc collection.
Really?
And then I lost that one.
Well, they like their special editions.
Yeah, and they had like a four disc collection. Mm-hmm. It was only in fucking, I think it was, fucking, what was it? In Japanese, I think. There was no subtitles, no nothing.
Really?
And this guy that was in my band at the time bought that one, and I said, why did you buy that? And he goes, because it has four discs. And I'm like, yeah, but it's all...
Yeah, there's no
subtitles. Because, like, well, I can understand. It's like whenever Final Fantasy, the movie came out, not the Spirit Within, but the other one, the Final Fantasy VII one came out. He went and he pirated a copy of it from online that was all in Japanese.
I watched that with him, and I was like, I was already drunk to begin with.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I don't know what's going on.
Why are you watching this? There's no subtitles. Like, well, I can tell when somebody's angry. And I was like, that has nothing to do with it. There's a reason you're the guitarist. There's a reason you're the fucking backup guitarist. And this is it. This is it. You know,
this is the drop D with the guitarist. I think I understand Japanese, but there's no subtitles.
I know. I was just like, you could do about that was the defining moment for me.
And it's like, with Advent Children, there was no telling someone was angry.
I know.
I mean, there was, like, no expression in that movie whatsoever.
Yeah. That was the defining moment for he and I. I said, this is why you're the backup guitarist and I'm the lead singer. That's why you will never advance beyond that
point. The drummer is now more valuable than
you. Like, and you don't even play your own guitar. You play what people write. you don't write your own stuff. Because you watch Japanese movies without subtitles and you don't speak fucking Japanese. Anyways,
he's a pretentious asshole.
He's a pretentious dick. Yeah, but anyways, and I ended up finding, like, this unrated, extended, full version, because when it came out in America, I was really upset, because I lost my copy, and I thought, oh, they're finally going to release it, and I went and I bought it, and they had, like, redone the whole movie.
Yeah, they had recut the entire thing.
They fucked it. They fucked it so bad, because there's this huge twist at the end that just blows you away, and within the first, like, scene where the doctor's giving a speech, he gives away the twist, he says, we're making these cells from the cells that we find. And I'm just like, why did you just say that? This ruins the whole fucking movie. And then when you get to the end and it's a huge scene, they edit it so much it's stupid.
It's like, you'll never expect this twist.
Yeah. And the movie's fantastic in its original form. And so I spent a long time looking for it. I finally found this guy who had the full unrated Vietnamese release.
Nice.
That had American subtitles on it. It was a legit copy, and I was like, all right, I'll buy it, and it was like $12. I ordered it, they sent me the wrong one.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, you guys sent me the right one. He goes, oh, we'll keep it, we'll send you the right one. So now I got two copies. I don't remember what I did with that other one. Did I give it to you?
No.
You probably gave it to the singer, said, look, learn this.
No, this is just recently that I rebought it. I'm trying to remember who I gave it to. I gave it to somebody, I was just like, here you go, here's a copy of fucking Kashyyyk and I don't want. But yeah, no, great. But they had a Capcom versus whoever that had Kashana on it. That was just fun as shit. Yeah, so that's all you've been doing?
Yeah, there's a game I forgot to mention.
Yeah, what's that?
That happened the other week, and I wanted to bring it up, and that was Evoland. Evoland is a game that's like a tribute to Zelda, really.
And it's the ages of Zelda.
So it's only on Steam. It'll run on pretty much anything. If you have a computer made in the last 8 years, it'll probably run. If you can run Nintendo 64 style graphics, it'll work. Mm. But basically, as you go through, it starts off like old school Game Boy Zelda.
Yeah.
And then it moves. It's like, oh, and you got 8 colors. You'll discover a chest and like, oh, you discovered 16 colors. Oh, you discovered 32-bit music. Like, it just keeps progressing like that. But it's really, really, it's just a love letter to old school video games or old school Zelda. I mean, there's even like there's misspellings of stuff. Like your main guy's name was I can't remember. I know there's a Sid, but it's spelled the wrong way. I think it's spelled S-I-D.
Yeah.
And it just as you progress through the game, you'll find different chests, and each of those chests unlocks a new graphic variation of the game, and it really picks up steam really fast. It's not a very long game, but if anybody's just interested in just something kind of quirky and cool, because it's just a very, very basic adventure game, kind of in the vein of Zelda, not nearly as epic, but it just, every time you find these chests, it just like completely upgrades the game to the point where you're playing with like, you know, N64 or GameCube graphics. And it's a really cute game. I had a lot of fun with it for about 4 hours. But that's pretty much all I have.
And then you threw it away like a used undergarment.
Well, I got my $5 worth.
There you go.
So Trent, what have you been up to?
Work, some Zombie U. That's pretty much all I played.
Have you beat it yet?
Yeah, I beat it.
Cool. So
yeah.
What do you think about Zombie U?
I actually like it. It's
what you were saying last week.
Yeah, it's, well, I finally went through and actually beat it. I got more into it and got more proficient with the way the game actually works and the mechanics for it. And it's actually really freaking good. For them utilizing a new system with a new way of playing a game, you know, using the gamepad.
Yeah.
And, you know, they use it very well. And, the graphics aren't always... Are you laughing at Justin?
What?
Man, that feels great, by the way. Thank you for doing that. I'm sweating worse than a you-know-what in church.
Yeah. But no, it's actually pretty cool, and I liked it.
It's 80 degrees in here.
It is slightly...
My wife keeps the house like at 74, and I'm like, oh, this
is nice. God. Anyways, it is slightly the survival horror that it has angles of that. I mean, it's not really action-packed like a lot of that. Like, even Resident Evil 4, which was like one of the last real survival horror games, I'd say actually Resident Evil 3, had a little bit more action going on. This one's a little bit more laid-back. It's really laid-back.
Yeah, there's a lot of let's just not fight.
Yeah, it's very intense at times, which I actually did enjoy. But, trying to think. The story's not bad. Where it goes is not bad. The ending, I got a little 40. Pissed off because the credits rolled at like the peak of this really intense moment. And I was like, are you fucking shitting me? This is the end of the game. And then, of course, after the credits, they send you back in to finish it. So it's like, oh, okay, cool, and I can finish. There is no New Game Plus, technically. Once you beat the game, it has your save file in there and just says game completed and you can't access it.
Oh.
To start over again, you have to create a new survivor. I haven't really tried multiplayer, so I don't know if I can port that survivor over into multiplayer to play as them, having completed the game, maybe get you something extra or whatever, so I haven't tried.
Well, I was going to tell you, all along the lines of the Wii U, I was talking with Daniel at work, and I had asked him if he knew, because last week you had talked about how you could access the satellite receiver, and he's upgrading to... You guys got that, so it does work with that one right there. Right?
Yeah, the only function
because
that
he said what he said is that it worked with the with it was IR. He didn't know if it was going to work with that. I didn't know you guys had one of those or not.
Yeah, it works, but
okay.
The only thing that doesn't work right now, and it's not because of
the DVR
particular,
thing, right?
DVR
yeah.
function. If
okay,
you, it's got the buttons for.
Yeah, because that's what he said. He knew
yeah.
about that, but he didn't know
yeah.
if it was going to work with that or not.
Yeah,
it IR
UHF.
Only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll let him know that it does work.
Yeah,
with
it does
that.
Work
right,
with
cool
that. Yeah.
All right, I didn't know you guys had that. I thought you guys had a different one.
And they'll eventually have the DVR function turned on, which is nice. But,
well, I'll let him know it does. He'll be happy about
it. I've been using that as my fucking new remote
yeah.
control.
That's what he's been.
Right
that's
there.
What he uses his. He just didn't know if it was going to work with the kind that you had. I didn't know you guys had that one.
So everyone with UHF-enabled equipment, it works UHF.
There
yeah.
we go.
Because I have this new switcher that I picked up that Justin had picked up before previously, and I got one too since I was like, I need more HDMIs in the back of my TV, and it's a cool little thing where if I have my dish on and I'm watching TV, And even if that's already turned on, I turn the Wii on, it automatically switches channels for me to the input that the Wii's on. And when I turn it off, it switches back to my
See, that's what I like. That's what I like about it. It automatically does that.
Well, no, that's the Switch.
That's the HDMI Switch.
Okay, I got you.
But since I've been using it, so that way I don't have to pick up the controller to change the input.
He's had that for regular customers.
Switches over.
Man, you didn't know how much that would cut. Oh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a pretty handy thing.
That's a nice little Switch.
I really enjoy the Switch mixed with the Nintendo Wii because it's really nice. And it works with my Blu-ray as well.
I was going to give some better explanation for that. So both me and him have this little three-port Switch.
Yeah.
And what it does is, like, I have my PC. Mm-hmm. Or not my PC. Yeah, I have my PC, my 360, and my PS3 on it.
Yeah.
And I don't have my Wii on. I have to switch in and out because I still need another port. Yeah. But I'll turn on my 360.
Yeah.
And it flips inputs for the 360.
Where can you get that?
And I turn on Amazon for like what?
$12.
Is it 12 bucks?
Yeah, it's like 12 with shipping. Yeah. Well, it's 12 with shipping.
That's such a great thing to have. That's something.
It's really, and it's, you know, it's like
it has a remote control for it, a little tiny one that just has three options, 1, 2, and 3 is your inputs. You don't even need it because it automatically switches for you.
That's cool.
So that's, and I think about buying another one just to hook up to the other HDMI on TV, so I can expand.
Yeah, you just plug it into your TV.
Yeah, just plug it in that. And it has a little sensor.
Uh-huh.
That's got a long cord to it that has sticky tape, so you can attach it to underneath something to hide it or on top.
Okay.
And you know, and it's just fun because I mean, I don't have to fuck with my input anymore, which is really
nice.
And
that's what's cool though, because like I said, I mean, you get a lot of people who has kids.
Well, especially with Dish, because with Dish you have the sat TV, DVD and aux, and you have to hit the fucking TV button,
but even,
and then input, and it just it's.
But even like at my house, I have a Toshiba TV, and it's got, like I said, it has. For the TV kind, it has enough inputs. It's got two S-video, two RCAs, four HDMIs.
Well, a lot of these newer TVs don't have a lot of inputs.
Yeah,
like, I got, they
cut down.
But when you have kids, though, you they go to play a game. Like, when I go to play a game, I got to switch to HDMI 2.
Yeah.
When I'm done, if I want to go back to, you know, the satellite, I got to go HDMI 1. If we watch a movie for the kids, or if we watch a movie at all, she uses the DVD VCR.
This will switch
it
automatically.
Yeah, that's a great thing because you don't have all times like, oh, I don't know what input I'm supposed to be on for my TV. That's a great thing.
And all you have to do is just turn on the device and it'll switch on.
That's a great tool. It's
a great little thing for $12. And I mean, especially when you look at some HDMI switches and they're like $50 to $150.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Just get this.
And if
thing.
You have six ports, if you have six ports, you get two of those switches and you're pretty much
set.
Well,
you're covered, because I have two HDMI. I have a nice LG 42-inch 3D television, and it only has two fucking HDMI ports in the back. I think two components, maybe.
Yeah.
By the way, I was kind of like, this Boss TV.
Yeah, it has
two HDMI. And it has a USB on the side.
The nicer they are, the less HDMI ports they have. Now, I'm saying Toshiba's bad. I love Toshiba.
Yeah.
I support Toshiba.
Yeah, but I think they're figuring you're going to plug it into your stereo receiver.
Exactly. But the 32-inch that I have still has four HDMIs on it. So they at least say, hey, we know you need HDMI.
I started saying
everything's HDMI now.
I bought the 52-inch Sanyo instead of the 52-inch Sony or Samsung because it had three HDMI ports instead of two.
Mine's cool though. Mine has two of the four on the side, like where the volume is.
Yeah.
So you can get to it, so you don't have to be like some of the regular people who are like, well, let me turn this TV to the side.
Yeah.
So you can get to the back. So that's really cool because the way it is well, at our house, our satellite receiver, all this stuff is on the, you're looking at it on the right hand side.
Yeah.
So it's easy to go to that side, but with the Xbox, it's over here, so it goes into the back. So you can use both of those.
It's
really
the way
nice.
Mine is set up. All the controls are at the bottom of they're touch sensitive.
Those are nice.
So they're not actual buttons.
No.
They're just touch sensitive.
That's cool though.
And so you just slide your hand across and turns off. But
except you have little kids and they find out that they're there. And they
I don't have.
I know you don't. But I'm just saying that's the one thing. That's why I got the Toshiba because I'm glad, because if I had the thing like you had, my daughter would be like.
But the and on the side of it has a USB which you can access, and that's the main reason I got this. Is one, it was a 3D TV and it came with a sound bar, which I really wanted to have that extra sound, and it had a USB on the side of it, so I can watch like ABI, MPEG-4, MKV files, like flash files and stuff.
Yeah.
So I can watch pretty much any format I want,
cool.
and not have to worry about using like views for transcoding to my Xbox. Just plug it in, boom, it's done. But back to Zombie U. Profoundly awesome game. I actually am really happy with it. People who give it negative shit have been bitching about the controls. I largely think it's like one of those things where it's
just, so me and you talked about this, like people just don't get into combat that much.
They don't get into combat. Like Dead Island got shit for its combat.
Those are the people that played an hour of it and was
exactly.
I started saying those are people who did take the time to get used to the new control scheme.
Yeah. And that's one of my big things is I always
it's not like Dead Rising 1 where you're like aiming with the with the right stick or whatever.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. But it's one of those things where I always see these people bitching about, oh, the controls suck, they're so clunky. Actually, the controls are really fluid inside Zombie U.
Yeah.
And I mean, and people go, the zombies are too hard to take down. Actually, I can take down a zombie in one fucking hit.
That's how you do it.
And all you do is, I mean, you can try and go for a massive head crunch, or you can just push them, get behind them, hit them, and they'll fall down and you just crush their head in. And that's actually where you're supposed to do crowd control, but they don't tell you that because they want you to figure that on your own.
People don't like games that make you think.
Yeah, they don't like games that they have to adapt. And I actually like games that you have to adapt to, because if you're playing a game with different games with the same controller scheme over and over and over again, it's not a challenge. You already know everything, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. But I really enjoyed the game. The way that they implement the pad is really fun. It does get your attention off the screen at really tense times. And like I was in a haunted...
Especially in Buckingham Palace.
Yeah. Oh, no. You haven't gone anywhere. I was in a haunted fucking, like preschool. Which is the worst place for ghosts to be.
That's just creepy.
Worst place for ghosts to be. There's like weird toy box music going on and like noises.
It's like Silent Hill 2.
Basically, yeah. It's just a lot creepier. I'm like, shit, I gotta get my bag. And so I'm on the stairwell. I'm like, I'm gonna shut this door.
See, that's the door down there. You're playing the day. You're like, I'm gonna play this level when it's
so
right out.
Yeah.
So would you say it'd be like if they did Toys Meet Zombies?
Yeah. Now, what I would like now, when Shattered Memories came out for the Wii, I was like, oh man, what the fuck are they putting the fucking Silent Hill game on Wii for? And to be honest, Shattered Memories is not one of my favorite Silent Hill games, but I think if they were to do a nice reboot back to survival horror with Silent Hill, it would be an awesome game to see on the Wii U, just like with Dark Souls 2. It would be amazing to see what they could do with the gamepad. And that's the thing, there's a lot of people bitch about the gamepad. It's actually a very advantage, oriented thing. It gives you a really cool aspect into the games that you never saw before. And Zombie U is a really good example. I know they're already working on a sequel. And this game was like 14 hours long. I can't wait to see what they do with the next one, where they place it, what they do with it. Because they kind of left it open. And I wish there was a few more landmarks you could go to. Because you go to like Buckingham Palace, London Tower, or Tower of London. You go into the Metro, of course, which is your main hub that you're kind of hiding out in. And a couple other places. But I would have liked to have seen maybe go down to, was it the Life Wheel? The giant carousel that had the Ferris wheel. Go to the actual riverfront. Because you're at the riverfront whenever you're doing
the London Bridge.
Actually, London Bridge isn't there anymore. they moved London Bridge to, what is it, where did they move London Bridge? They moved it to America somewhere years ago, like a long time ago. Took it apart brick by brick and moved it to America, like Utah or something. I don't remember, maybe Nevada. But anyways, but they have another bridge over there now, which is the really long suspension bridge between the two parts. But having to go to the life wheel, whatever it's called, would be cool. You are at the riverfront during the London Tower thing, but you don't spend a whole lot of time there. And, I don't know, having actual more underground sewer areas where you actually do get to play would have been nice, because those are some of the more tense, really creepy moments when you're down there. Also, the bridges between different areas are all the same. They recycled those. Mm. When you're climbing up a ladder and then going through a hole in the wall into a metro area, to the underground tubes, and then through another hole in the wall, and then down a ladder, and then you come out in the next area. They could have maybe mixed that up a little bit to break the continuity, but that's sort of break the mundane, yeah. But it's a good fucking game, and anybody who bitches about it, I mean, play it for 8 hours. I mean, beat the game to bitch about it. I mean, I hated Singularity. I at least fucking beat it twice.
Yeah. But do you think that they recycle some of those things because they're on a time crunch?
So yeah, no, a lot of times they are.
You know what I mean? So they're like, look, I'm just going to put the same
if you go in a hole and you go in another, it's really the same thing. That gives them time to work on
the other exactly stuff. What it is, or
it's a budget
new,
thing.
Or it's a new game like Zombie U, and they go, we don't have enough funding to make this, and this.
Well, I think they had the funding.
Its own, so we'll just recycle and change a couple things.
It was Ubi who did it.
They just didn't have the time because they had to release that when the Wii U launched.
Yeah.
And now it comes with, you know, certain additions to the console. I mean, it's got to be, it had to be done.
Yeah. And it's just one of the things where just creating variables and transitions would be nice. But I mean, you know, that's the only thing that's the same. When you get to different areas, it's very different. Like, there's a gas station you go to, and it's a street corner, it's all caged in. It's very different than some of the other places you've been to. And it's a lot lighter in that area. It's not as dark as, say, when the first area started off in the market district. And so there is a nice change. It's just it's constantly overcast in London.
Well, that's normal.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's constantly overcast in London, so you just get different shades of gray during the day.
The 50 shades.
The 50 shades of London gray is what you get. That's because when you start off, it's pitch black, and then when you get to the market area, to the gas station, it's a little bit lighter, and you can see. And the reason why is because you're on a rooftop, you're looking down. There's about 12 fucking zombies out there in one area, and it's very like, how am I going to get through this shit? I did kill Justin about 5 times.
Yeah, because you get survivors, and I'm your only friend.
No, I actually got more than you. Not as friends, but I mean in my game. They basically, you'll be running around and out of nowhere, there'll be a named zombie with a little name plaque above their head.
Yeah.
And I got him a lot of times because he is my friend on my friends list, but I got people I never met before who just showed up, and I'll tell you what their point score was when they died, because a higher point score means they probably have good items on them.
Yeah.
Lower point score means they probably have nothing. And a couple of people I dropped, and they had like 8 health packs. Some good ammo and stuff, and I just, you know, you just gotta feed him.
So you're telling me Justin was a zombie in a lot of
time. Yeah, if he died, if that character of his died, if he went back and killed it and got a shit, it's now in the pool to be spawned into my game.
That's like premonition for real life.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I murdered him a number of times, and I was doing this really frantic run. No. I actually called him in my room the first time.
I was like, hey, it's one of your guys.
Yeah, and he came in there. I was like, hey, check this out. I beat him down. I pulled out a shotgun and shot his dick off. And then I took everything out of his bag, which was a few things. But I was doing this frantic run at the very end of the game, and there's just this like constant swarm of zombies. And he was there, and I was like, ah, damn it, I could really go for an extra health kit. So I took out all these zombies, and I killed him, and he had nothing on him. Oh, and I was like, you are such a cock tease, Justin.
Douche.
And then I booked it. But I enjoyed the game. It's really, really fun. I'm actually playing through it now in hardcore mode, which is you have one life.
You tried that before, I remember you said.
When I first started, I wanted to see how bad it could get, and it's really not bad at all. It's actually the same game, except for there's no respawn. If you die, that's the end. You have to start all the way
over. Well, but part of it's learning, so.
Yeah.
You've kind of learned the mechanics now at this point. You ought to be fairly solid.
Oh, yeah. I've already played through like the first 2 hours of it with one survivor and done just fine. And
you'll probably take a little less chances, though, now.
No, actually, I've been booking it running around because I kind of know where things are and what to expect. And if I do get in trouble, I've kind of learned that, you know, if you get in trouble, always have a flare attached on your quick menu, because if you get in trouble, even if you throw a flare and a zombie's right next to you, he's probably going to go for you over the flare, but all the other ones are going to go after the flare. So the trick is throw it right where you're standing and then run. Don't pitch it out, because they're all coming towards you, so just go ahead and drop it and then book it, because they'll go after that. And that's pretty much my idea, so I just make sure I carry at least 3 flares with me at all times, because it'll buy you about 5-6 seconds, but that's usually enough for you to get away, because they don't always follow you if you get out of sight. The zombies actually have a really short attention span. So
they're ADD zombies.
Well, if you're trying to lure one around a corner, he'll start coming at you, and if you back up long enough and you just stand there, you'll see him on the radar, and he'll just stop. And you'll have to come back out and get his attention, and then he'll start walking over.
That's funny.
But I'm sure that on this hardcore mode, it's going to get kind of chaotic.
I bet.
As I get further into some of the more serious areas, like around Buckingham Palace, trying to get in there, there's a really bad swarm they kind of throw at you that sucks. So,
nice.
But yeah, Zombie U, definitely one of my favorite games so far this year. Anybody who trashes on it just really needs to.
Well, it came out last year, though.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it came out last year. But
favorite game we've played this year.
Yeah. But
not to correct you, but I mean, since we're, like, I'm kind
of. I forgot it was last year.
He's like, I'm not.
2012.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is I'm still
section 2.
One of the things that I didn't do last year is I didn't make a running list of like things that I liked, because it tends to come out that you have games that come out early in the year that you almost forget about. You know, like Tomb Raider. Like I really like that game.
Yeah,
BioShock Infinite. Not that I'll forget, but it might be one of those things that 8 months down the road, I'm not remembering that I played BioShock Infinite this year. You know.
Yeah.
So I started keeping a list of things that I like, and then I'll just kind of gradually bump it off as things go along.
Yeah, but so far it's definitely one of the funner games I've played this year, and I look forward to what they're going to do with the sequel, and I'm going to play through it again, and maybe even a third time. I don't know. So. That's about all I've done.
Well, do you want to go ahead and take a break? And we'll jump into, because we got a hefty amount of news that we're going to cover.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it'd be better to take a break now and then jump into that.
Yeah, so we'll be back.
All right, we'll see you guys in a minute.
Trying to read and trying to text and trying to smoke all at once.
Multitasking at its finest.
Just so much to do. Anyways, welcome back. We're back from a break. Justin, tell us about your SmackDown during the break.
Yeah, so I decided to try to sell Jason on Injustice.
I'm sold.
Yeah, he's a...
I'm sold. I'm impressed.
We did best 2 out of 3. We just wanted to do 3 quick matches. He won one. You got, it's Black Adam versus
Aquaman. That's right. I kicked Justin's ass with his favorite character.
Nice.
So we did that, and then what was the second match? You did. We just did this.
Deathstroke, and you did.
Deathstroke versus Flash.
Yep.
You got to do the Deathstroke Supers.
Crackhead won.
Yeah. Well, Deathstroke has a really good finish move. I forgot about it, where he does the whole like, well, it's like an uppercut, and then he tosses the sword in the air and.
Full on ninja assassin, tosses his sword up in the air, uppercuts the character back, hits him with his pistols, jumps up, catches the sword, throws it into him, and then finishes him off with the Uzis.
Great. So, which is pretty cool. I was trying to show him the Flash one where he runs around the world. That didn't work. So we did one last match. It was Hot Girl versus Doomsday. And
who was Hot Girl?
I was.
Here's up, girl.
You beat up a woman, huh?
I did. Yeah.
Shameless.
Pretty hardcore, and I had never actually played Doomsday before. I just wanted to see what a super was. He did Hot
pretty
Girl.
Pretty badass.
I didn't realize
both
that,
are pretty badass.
Yeah, Hot Girl throws it. It's like goes anime style. Like it's got the like action lines and everything else. And she takes the dude up in the clouds, smacks him around with a mace, then knocks him back on the ground. And Doomsday starts beating the bejesus out of you and starts pummeling you into the ground to the point
through
where
the earth,
through the earth, and into the ocean. And then throws your ass back up to the hole you created, which is pretty awesome.
Amazing.
So
well, it sounds like a good game.
It was. It's pretty epic.
It is.
The controls aren't that hard either. It's good to have a fighting game where you can just feel like a badass, like right out the gate. Like yep. I mean, you were doing supers and shit inside of a few minutes.
Yep.
So actually, inside your first.
Yeah, if Justin hadn't stuck me with the controller with the stuck. Left stick.
I should have given
you
that.
Before,
you know what?
That's listen, the way he gets you.
Listen,
that's
excuses. That's excuses. That's all I'm hearing. Listen,
no. That's MO. That's the way he fucks people. So.
That's the only reason I lost the.
Just don't ask why it's stuck. Don't ask why it's sticky or what.
It's stuck up.
I already have an idea. I don't want no details.
I'm a true believer. You should have just brought your own controller.
Yeah, always bring your own controller.
Always. Half controller will travel.
Totally.
So that's what me and Jason did. I think I sold him on it.
The
so.
Greatest controller I ever had, and it made me upset because a friend of mine broke it. And I can go out and buy another one. They still make them, but it's the one that has that you plug into your little USB port in the Xbox, and you hit the switch, and there's the air cooling jets on it, so it keeps your hands cool.
I want one of those.
That was the greatest controller I've ever played with, because there's times you're playing the game and you're just like sweating, but your hands are nice and cool, so you're like, yeah, it's a great game. I love this controller. And like I said, I mean, you didn't have to worry about batteries because it just plugged straight into the thing. Yeah. And I loved it. My friend played it. He's like, oh, this is awesome. And then he got mad at it, raged out, and did it and broke it. I was like, oh, you suck. And I've never seen him again. Ever after that. And
My favorite controller. Well, yours is your Afterglow, isn't it? That's your favorite controller.
You know, and it's gotten some really mixed reviews. Honestly, I've had a really solid success with the Afterglow.
Well, it's PDP that makes them, and they usually do pretty good products.
Well, it's so there's a little bit of a... You have to do a little bit of internet searching. You have to do a little bit of internet searching to get it to work on your PC, but once you find the PC driver for it...
Yeah.
I've loved using it with my PC. It was my controller of choice, and honestly, like, going back to playing fighting games, like, it's so precise, and I've gotten so used to it. I like it above the regular Xbox
controller. So I do love PDP controllers, and that's who makes the Afterglow. I have the Tron Special Edition controller. Oh, cool. I have the orange Clue one.
Yeah.
That's like fucking $400 now, if you go looking for it, because they only made
I remember you went on a hunt for it.
Oh, yeah, I went on a hunt for it. My ex bought it for me, because I bought her a new monitor for her laptop, because it broke, and I was like, well, I'll fix it for you, and as a gift, I bought the screen for it and installed it, and in return, she's like, well, you know, I'll get you this. So she got me that, and she spent some money on it, and I use that on my PC. It's always plugged into my PC, and it is, like, the best controller. It's super responsive. It's just fantastic.
I think it's cool that, like, nowadays you can just plug in an Xbox 360 controller or a PS3 controller.
Yeah.
My brother's favorite controller of all time was the MatCats.
Oh, yeah.
He loved the crap. He still has that. Let's go to his computer to date. He has the old school
gray. Was it the Sidewinder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loves that. And I'm like,
I've had, like, three of those. Are there enough?
He has the original one. It's never broke. I'm like, you know how old this is? And he goes, great things. You
yeah. What's yours?
Love me or hate me, I miss my old large ass Logitech wireless controller for the original Xbox.
Yeah.
That's a Logitech product. Those are usually pretty solid.
The thing was massive.
Yeah,
but
it was just fucking big.
But the sticks were shorter. It was super responsive for being one of the first wireless controllers out there. Yeah. It was great.
Now, I think if you tried PDP brand, I think you probably end up falling, because they are, like, the screens on the shoulder is just responsive as shit.
Like, everything feels tight.
Yeah. It's just really
and that's
nice.
Always a good thing.
and mine has the rubber grips on the sides with the Tron textures, and the lights come up, and the Clue stuff and all that. It's just really nice, and it just fits really well, and really responsive. And it's
The Afterglow controllers, I mean, the lights are a nice feature, because one of them matches my PC, and the other one is red, but...
You got to coordinate.
But you know, I don't usually use the lights to begin with. Most of what I use it for is it's a smaller controller than the Xbox controller, so it fits in my hands like it fits like a glove. Like it's I don't have small hands, but
you have child hands.
I don't have Hampton's hands, if you know what I mean, girl. But Hankins would like an Afterglow.
I bet he would.
But yeah, it's just it fits really well. I mean, it's just nice.
See, that's my thing. I actually like the beefier controller.
Well, yeah, it hands like a Sasquatch. I mean, it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
The Andre the Giant syndrome.
It is true.
The two people we hire on the show like are almost 7 feet tall. So,
yeah.
You guys both like 6'5" or 6'4"?
Yeah. I went to the doctor the other day. I was 6'5".
You 6'5"?
Yeah, 6'4".
Yeah. Yeah. What are you, Trent? Like 6?
Yeah, 6.
Not 5'8".
But your sheer awesomeness makes you at least 8 feet.
Hey. Just because you're a hobbit, don't hate on the rest of us.
He is a fucking hobbit, isn't he?
He's got the hairy feet and all. Yeah. I don't see it now.
No, the hairy feet is one thing he doesn't have. But, of course, I know for a damn fact he nares that while he showers.
You know he does. He's like, you'll never know.
That's why he has crocodile skin tones.
Yeah. It's like, why is there a plumber every week at our house? Just said, never mind, don't worry about it.
Yeah, he has one of those no-nos that just like, takes things out. Yeah, I use one of those on my balls just because I like shooting lasers at my balls.
He's like, your own little bruise, like, I shall destroy the disc.
Actually, you know, if they came up with a hairy mule thing that looked like a fucking laser from like a plasma pistol from fucking a blaster rifle from fucking Star Wars, I would not shoot my balls with that. I would just be like, I don't feel comfortable.
Listen, you know you would try at least once. You're like, man,
and they're like, no, we put this little clear plastic nut cup on the front so you can just hold them there. I'm like, no, I don't care. I don't care if my nuts get to rest for a second. You're shooting a laser beam at my nuts. That's not cool. If it burns hair off, it probably does internal damage. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I bet so.
That shit is systemic.
The turtle shell is soft.
Yeah, the turtle shell is soft. It should not be covered with callus.
Hell no, we shouldn't.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's got a seam. That shit can break. Yeah. It's got a seam. I guess the episode title.
The turtle shell is soft. That's what. Yeah.
I don't want a 4-inch pee hole. I'm gonna throw that out there. That's just gross. So, anyways, it's like, you don't piss at that point. You don't piss. You just gush at that point. It comes out like stalker love.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But yeah, that's my favorite controller. That's your favorite. That's all of our favorite controllers. That might be a better question for the week, just because it's a good question.
See that? See, yeah. I have good ideas every once in a while.
Yeah. But
they're coming about organically.
Yeah. But anyway, so we've gone to that. Talked about your SmackDown with Jason over there. So we're gonna go jump in and let's jump into email. I want to do email first.
Both I'm not feet. Even ready.
Yeah. Oh, you're not. Why are you not
both
ready?
Both feet. Because
I was looking at. I was ready. Getting my news queued up.
Oh, you suck.
Man. He's like, look, I like news better.
Look, I was playing with Jason.
We don't even know what they were doing in that bedroom.
That is true.
We were out here talking manly stuff, and then they're in the bathroom grab-assing.
Is it so wrong that it felt so right?
I don't need to know about that. Don't ask, don't tell.
I think you were playing Aquaman, right?
Yeah, I was.
He was.
I think he lets you win because he secretly wants to be Aquaman getting stomped by whoever you're playing.
He's like, yeah, just hit me. Do your combo.
Got yourself some new followers on
Twitter. So what you're saying is he really wants to be Aquaman when Black Adam rams it up his ass?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Actually, well, Black Mantis from Aquaman, I still have an action figure for him. But I love it. It really harks back to the hilarity on Robot Chicken of almost every, even Harvey Birdman pointed out that every villain or hero that is black has the word black in their name. And Black Mantis is one of my favorites because he always has a silver helmet thing. Yes. You take it off, you're like, he takes it off and the guy goes, he's black. I didn't know that. Oh, well, the name.
Black Mantis.
I should have known. Black Mantis. Yeah,
what is it? What show was that off of? Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
Yeah.
Black Lightning or whatever.
Yeah.
Why they always call me Black Lightning?
It's Black Vulcan. Black Vulcan.
Yeah, Black Vulcan.
Yeah.
That's the great. That was one of C-Lab 2020.
Yeah, Black Debbie.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Those are such great cartoons. I loved them. That was during the great age of Adult Swim.
Are we done filling for you?
Yeah.
While you get your shit together?
You guys got some new followers on Twitter, by the way.
Oh, really?
Pretty nice.
All your family?
No, I wish.
So I called the entire clan out through Alabama to get on the twatter.
I said, get on the magic box.
Get on the twatter. Go queef them a message.
You know what's funny, though, is a lot of my family we follow each other on Facebook, but none of them do Twitter. They're like, look, if we want to say what we're doing, we'll just walk down to each other's house and just tell you.
No, but most clients I have do not. They're like, we offer like social media, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and RSS feed and YouTube, Vimeo, Pinterest, and the one that they're always like, do I really need this? It's Twitter.
Yeah,
it's just they're just like, again, I really don't want to tweet.
No. Yeah. Again, you can put pictures of what you're doing on Facebook. You don't need to do it on Twitter sometimes.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into what do we got?
So, he actually responded to last week's question, the question before.
Well, who was it?
Ian.
Thank you. Okay.
Hey, welcome back, Ian. Thanks for the email, buddy.
So he says, to the nasty one, the Trent Show, the Shield, a.k.a. Toe Jam and Earl.
Nice.
I play that game, by
the way. I miss
Toe
Jam and
Earl. Toe Jam and Earl. Yeah. I used to play that game a lot.
That needs to make a comeback.
So he says, love the new setup. As for my top five this generation, Mass Effect, the whole series, Skyrim, Civilization series, Batman, Arkham Asylum, and Arkham City series,
nice.
And Lost Odyssey.
Nice.
Not bad.
Nice. Not bad. Not bad.
Just curious,
of course, just for people who didn't listen, our question was last week, what are your top favorite games from this now dying generation of consoles?
That would have been 2 weeks ago, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was two weeks ago, whichever, yeah.
Says, so just curious, do you guys think it would be wise to wait a year after the next gen consoles come out to avoid any janky issues? Or should I just dive right in?
Well,
the cask in.
Well, given how... Well, Ian, you know when you turn your Xbox on and it says Xbox needs to update the operating system, or has a system update, that fixes the janky issues. So go ahead and buy one when they come out, because I don't think they're going to do it. In fact, they'll probably have better system updates this time that might be faster. But either way, that's what those are for. be happy. It's the same thing with games, because some of these games are now being rushed through production so far. You get really, like, PlayStation 3, you poor bastards, the dragons are flying backwards in Skyrim. They fixed that eventually, not within a week. I think it took longer than that. Yeah, but by the way, yeah, they fixed it, and that's the beauty is... with Wii U, I mean, as soon as... I think your update, when you first bought yours, took you how long, you said?
4 hours.
4 hours. And he was like, get ready for 4 hours. I went in there, and I installed the update. It took 10 minutes. Just boom, down. It was done. And it's probably because they consolidated that update, put out an actual...
They actually probably just put it on that Wii before you got
probably,
it.
Probably, yeah, yeah. But whatever update they had now. I got mine back in, like,
what, January or something like that? Yeah.
But I know that whatever update came along, they probably had just a consolidated version of what they needed versus throwing everything on there. So, because there's been a few updates here and there for certain programs that weren't updated until I actually accessed them.
Whereas Justin probably got a bulk update for everything.
Yeah, and I think they kind of segregated some of the updates depending on, because they're like, well, somebody's not going to really use this, like Miiverse, or really, I don't know. By the way, they updated that also with some of the other core parts of the game. Sorry, the console.
Is there anything down?
And that's kind of my opinion, is go ahead and buy it on first day or within the first week, because if there's an issue, a console's a little bit more tested than games. The only real problem you got to worry about is stuff like overheating, like the original Xbox 360 had an issue with the design.
So and that might be what he's addressing. You know, my personal opinion on the matter is that you should wait and see what games are out and see if there are any that you want to play.
Yeah, look at the release schedule.
I mean, us being a gaming cast that reviews games, one of us is probably going to have one of everything at some point. So, I mean, if you get the new Xbox, I might be getting the new PS4. Mm-hmm. So that we can have something to talk about, because obviously this will be really big news.
Yeah.
But, and then you can kind of decide from what we say, but I mean, don't just trust us. I mean, look for games that you
want
to play.
Go with what you want, you know.
Like the immortal words of the great LeVar Burton. Don't take my word for it.
Yeah,
What's y'all's opinion on it?
Well, I say don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Just let them slip it in.
Just
happen naturally.
Just let them ease it in there.
Let it happen naturally.
You also have to remember console issues that there were with the launch of the PS3 and the Xbox 360. Those companies have learned from their mistakes.
Yeah, that's my main thing.
I doubt we're going to have any major component install issues like we did with the Xbox 360.
I was going to say with the Wii U, if you interrupted the firmware update, it would brick it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's things like that are out, but...
Yeah.
But if you follow the instructions on the screen, it says, do not turn off your fucking console.
Just leave it alone.
It was nice to Wii U because you could sit there and just, like, put it on the second screen and then watch TV, or I play on Xbox, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say this. I say, you know, don't get rid of whatever you have. Keep that. And then get the new one. I mean, if there is something really wrong with it and it's going to take them a little while to get to it, you still got the old one to play.
Well, I plan
on.
You
know what I'm saying?
Well, I will say, I know that you won't be able to get it first day.
I won't be able to get it first day. I got it. I'll have to save up. But
you have childs to worry about.
It's true. But yeah, I mean, Ellis fails. Like I said, I mean, I can always, like I said, I always go over to come over here. But no, I mean, if I know it's coming out and I want to get it, I'm just going to start saving the money up. I mean, I got at work.
Yeah,
I got a little bit of a pay raise, so like I said, I mean, I can start saving up for that, and like I said, I'll be able to get it. It may be a month or two down the road, but I'll still get it. I mean, I don't know whichever. Like we were talking about PlayStation 4. I forgot what we were saying, but you said if it had that certain thing like the. Like kind of what Xbox does with the group chat,
it would
go to PS4. So whichever, I love the Xbox 360. Don't get me wrong, and I'd love to stay with it. But if the PS4 is a lot more. Like say the deciding factor for me is if it's going to play the old game. So if the Xbox 720, they say no, we're not going to be reverse compatible. But then PlayStation 4 says yes, we can be. Mm-hmm. Then I'll probably get the PlayStation 4 and then just like. You know, gradually get the games that I have now that I really like.
The thing that I worry about with that is, like with Vita, they're just doing downloadable titles for all that stuff, and
And the Smart Boss is nice.
Yeah.
But just remember, don't be scared either way. If you want to wait it out, wait it out, because none of these guys have said they're killing the previous generation right away.
No, they're going to be releasing.
There's still going to be game development, everything else. So
yeah, and there's still going to be. I mean, like Dark Souls 2 is being released on current gen.
Yeah.
Early so, next year.
The Evil Within is going to be on new gen and this gen.
Yeah.
And then
Watch Dogs will release new gen and then backport.
No, I think they're wanting to aim that probably. I think the reason why they want to do this is they want to have it as a release game or early on. And then once it's out there and people purchase the new systems to play it, then they'll go ahead and trickle it down to those. I'm actually going to pre-order both of them because I make enough money where if I pre-order it, if I throw 50 down and then just keep throwing 50 down every paycheck, it'll be paid off by the time they come out. So when they come out, I just go up to the store and fucking pick them up.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest way to do it. I'm not worried about that because if Sony ends up giving me a piece of shit where the fucking where the drive is fucked and it can't read discs, then I'll get it replaced through them. You know, if I remember, they had a decent repair thing with that when they released their first PlayStation 3, and a bunch of them were bricked because the disc drives didn't work.
Yep.
They replaced them. Xbox. Same thing. If there's an issue with it, they'll do something to fix it. I plan on buying the gaming rig one, and so if I'm spending that much money, they better damn well fix the fucking problem with it. So I mean, it's going to be about $1,000 worth of fucking console.
But also, don't be
that's how sad. Oh my god!
But also, don't be in a rush to make your choice now.
But if it's something you love,
I didn't do the math. It's going to be $1,000 for gaming.
That's like a paycheck and a half, right?
Yeah, that's actually one paycheck, pretty much.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But still, $1,000 in gaming.
See, that's the thing.
See, that's a good chunk of a paycheck.
But what I'm worried about is with the new system, what are they going to charge for the games? That would be the big thing.
I've heard they're going to fluctuate around the 60, 65.
Well, you know, I mean, like $10 Nintendo games have been around for a long time that were charging the same amount. Super Nintendo are close to the same amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember they had special edition games for like $120 way back in the day.
Yeah,
So I don't really see that price changing that much.
But main point in, wait until closer to the end of summer to even start really researching your choices because we still don't know a lot of what's going to release for them. So just wait it out.
They have a few titles that said this is a release game. This is a release
but
game.
Killzone.
Killzone.
Six titles is a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, five, six titles if they're good games, that's your entire fucking 3 months of playing right there.
True.
And for some people longer who don't have as much time, so that's worth buying it. And with the Evil Within, if that game comes, I think that's for PC and everything else, I'm probably going to get that on PC. I don't care about next gen. But something like Watch Dogs, that for me is going to be next gen.
But you guys is different. With the way your PCs are set up, your guys' graphics are so close.
You mean the way our PCs reign over every
pretty much. The reign of superiority.
Yeah.
But anyway. But the way that the graphics are, I mean, you guys have it where you could have what the next gen graphics are going to look like.
Actually, ours is already probably better than what they
can. So that's what I'm saying. So you don't have to worry about getting that anytime soon. You still have that.
Yeah, but there's still some games that are only going to come out on, say, Xbox 720 Durango that are not going to be on PC. Like Watch Dogs, I can't remember if that's PC release as well, but I want it on Xbox because I haven't played my Xbox as much lately, and I feel really bad because I pay monthly for it. I have a lot of games for it, and I just never really play it as much anymore because I'm just always on PC because, one, I can get games cheaper on there, but there's some games I still can't get that are, you know, only on Xbox or only on PlayStation. Wii was the first console I've actually turned on and played a game on in quite a while.
So what you tell me is you've been treating your Xbox like you have all your ex-girlfriends, and that's why they left you.
Oh, man. Oh, actually, I've dumped pretty much every ex-girlfriend. I feel bad about that. I really do. You know what? Women out there, I have a statement for you. I have a statement. I know every guy in here is going to secretly thank me or publicly thank me. And that is, you know what, bitches? You guys can act as normal as you fucking want. You act as normal, sane, I got my shit together, I have a good job, blah, 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 all that wonderful shit. And then 6 months down the road, you find out what a crazy, psychotic bitch you were dating. Who quits her job one day. That's actually funny. Glorious PC Gaming Master. I want that on a shirt. Anyways.
It is on a shirt.
Nice.
It's Redbubble, my friend. Redbubble.
But who quits their job one day because they say, I wanted to spend more time with you. And you're like, I told you not to quit. Or they drop out of school. You're like, I told you not to drop out of college.
Yeah.
And they go like, no, I want to spend more time with you. I never get to see you. It's like, dude, when we split up, when and if we split up, you're going to throw that back on me, that I quit school for you. She's like, no, I swear I won't ever. What did she do? Boom. So that was the first thing that I fucking quit college for.
Sir,
I motherfucker.
And my wife is going to hate me for this comment.
Go for it.
With all women.
Uh-oh.
It's the ovaries.
Yeah.
The ovaries control everything.
Yeah. No, well, that or the weed. Their weed addiction. Which you're just like, you're addicted to weed. I can't sleep without it. You're like, you're a fuck up. In my mind, that's what I was saying. I didn't want to say it to your face because I knew it would cause an argument. But in my head, I'm like, you were the dumbest son of a bitch.
So my question is this. Why do you smoke weed that is like a codependent drug?
I know.
Codependent. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm like, you smoke so much weed and all you eat are Lean Pockets, two of them a day. That's it. I know people who smoke weed fucking munch.
Yeah.
You eat two Lean Pockets and then you wonder why you can't poop for 2 weeks.
Any guy who smokes that much weed will eat six pizzas in a day.
No shit. And then when she does go out, it just fucking gorge on it. And she's this little tiny chick. Yeah, gorges on food and then she cries about it later. And I'm like, I know you're going to go in the bathroom and throw up. Why are you going to do that? She's like, I feel fat. And I'm like, well, you beat the church group out at fucking Golden Corral. So, yeah, you feel fat, you dumb asshole. You know? And I could go on about women. I have a lot of... You know, women are like... For me, I came up with this one thing, that women are like slot machines. I don't call them slut machines. They're like slot machines. And as you pull the handle, you either get fucking three bells or you get crazy fucking badass shithead.
Trent.
Oh, and that's bar. Trent. That's bar right across. What?
Why are you not taking it?
I often wonder. I'm a reasonable person, level-headed. I have a good job. I cook like a motherfucker. I cook
hilarious.
Very well. Trent. And I got a big dick. But you know what? It's just funny. I hate sharing
you
my
digress.
Bed. I digress. I hate sharing my bed. That is actually one of the biggest key factors is I am not above... The girlfriend comes over and we hang out, we watch the TV, we fuck, and then it comes that time, it's like, well, I'm going to go to sleep. Why don't you go?
That's fine.
And she's like, well, I thought I crashed. I was like, oh, I got work tomorrow.
Again.
I just, you know, and it's just,
it's like,
woo! You know, that's one of
it's
those
like,
things.
Woo! That
know?
Bus, that last bus, only
yeah,
comes around
like,
at 9:30.
Yeah.
You
and I'm
go.
Like, I don't really cuddle. And I'm just like, and they go, like, why don't you cuddle? It's like, because you get behind me and you just breathe on my neck. And then I wake up and my entire, like, back is so warm and it's just horrible.
It's like, and then I wake up
and then I hear you. You're like, you know, I'm like, you're like 98 pounds, 110 pounds, 120, but whatever. You're the small little chick and you snore louder than I've ever snored. I don't get that.
There was a comedian.
Do you blow your nose?
There was a comedic skit one time and it had a guy who was a gamer and he his girlfriend was over and she stayed the night and he woke up and she's like. She's like, I rearranged your room for you. And he's like, well, where's my computer? Where's he goes, the only thing you need to be dependent on is me.
Yeah.
I can just see you going, no, no.
No, no.
You need to go.
The worst thing is
well,
when
you're
in your
you're kind of a jaded fuck sometimes.
I am a jaded fuck. I'm also a nice guy. Ask any girl I know.
Says,
will say.
I'm a realist.
I'm a realist. But yes,
I have good ones and I have bad ones.
Yeah.
I'm not as jaded as you are.
No, I have had good ones. I've had bad ones. But it's just the thing. It's a lot of women... Just if the girl is level-headed and practical, I'm totally fine. And I've had relationships that have been like three and a half years with that. But and they would have gone further.
If you quit chasing the fucked up goth chicks,
I don't chase
listen,
the fucked up goth.
You
chicks.
Yeah, but you've dated a lot.
Dude, what was I doing at the time?
Isn't there like
exactly. Hey, who was the last goth chick I dated?
Isn't
that's probably been
my mom.
2 years.
Oh,
who was
oh,
the last
oh,
goth chick?
Never
2 years ago.
Scratch that.
Oh, her. Now she's not really goth. She was like cyberpunk. But
same John,
but that was
fucking.
But that was my ex. That was my ex girlfriend from 13 years ago.
But why don't you? Isn't there like a thing on Craigslist where you can go on and find like gamer girls or something? Come on,
Craigslist personals.
Exactly. Oh, that's horrible, man.
Listen, just find a gamer girl.
I don't
the
think the girls that are on Craigslist personals
are
the type
in, like,
of girls.
Yeah.
You're
really like a joke. Is it like a curbside special?
There's probably like
exactly.
Yeah. There's probably an hourly fee for
that.
Listen,
that's it. That's it for Trent. We need to build the site. There's. Onlyfarmers.com.
Yeah.
We need only gamers.
No, there is one. No, there is actually a gamers dating website I know of.
You just need to get that girl that
who
stays home
it?
When you play the computer games.
Who
together.
Was it? Somebody at work mentioned it to me because we were joking around about dating websites because we were talking about making one for DHS. Because there's a DHS court, which is the daddy's court, where the mom's coming to see the dad, and there's this chick out there, and she kept pulling her skirt up while she was on the cell phone. I was like, that chick is a walking billboard. and we start joking around. She's not even actually here for a court date. She's here to find a dude to knock her up. Because she wants to have a kid. She's like, where do I go? DHS. And we thought it would be great to have a website where if you're just looking to have a baby, no strings attached, no child support, no nothing, just fuck me, knock me up. Boom. Website.
Website.
Yeah, and we call it dhfree.com. and he said that.
Sign a waiver?
Yeah. We were joking around about ones. There's a gamer. There's a Gamers for Gamers one, and there's like Geek to Geek, I think, is another one. But either way, we were joking around about that. But no, women, I've dated all kinds, and there's the more level headed, practical, realistic ones are perfect match.
But they're all married or taken.
Yeah, they're all married or taken, but it's just, you know, be practical, be realistic, and be level-headed. It's these girly girls, which I sometimes end up with, because, like, these little, tiny, petite, dainty girls always like me, because I'm, you know, big guy, you know, and they like big guys. And fucking hormones. Fucking hormones. Like, why won't you come? Is it because I'm fat? And you're like, no. You're 5'4", 90 pounds. You're not fat. If anything, you're too skinny. You're like, no, I'm fucking disgusting. You're too skinny. You're like, no.
What was that movie?
That was fucking Anger Management.
Yes, Anger Management.
Yeah, well, let me eat. Am I fat enough for you? I'm fucking gonna love that. By the way, no. Yes. No, level-headed chicks. That's all it is. Level-headed chicks.
Well, let's continue. You have any more emails?
I'm done with
it. Any more emails from his rant? Listen.
No.
Lady viewers, please don't stop listening to
You can email
podcast.
Me at Fuker23.
Email your hate mail to Fuker23 at
something. Justin and I appreciate you listening to our podcast.
No, I love women. Women are great. Most of my friends are women because I get along with them, but they know that they know how
girls.
I am. Well, no, it's because guys get too frustrated when they talk to women sometimes. If it's not my girlfriend, I'll listen to whatever the fuck they have to say. If it's my girlfriend and they read into shit too much, and I'm like, oh my god, I walked outside to talk to my mom on the phone. No, I'm not fucking somebody.
You know my wife.
They're like, who are you fucking? I'm like, bitch, I'm at work or I'm with you. When?
Yeah.
When would that happen?
See, my wife likes to look at my Facebook because she's not friends with some of the people, but she likes... My wife is like a picture troller. She will troll your pictures. Mm-hmm. Not for any reason, but just to look at the pictures. So it's like my wife, I have no password on my phone.
Yeah.
She goes on and looks at the Facebook, anything like that, and it works. And people are like, oh my God, you let your wife look at your phone. I'm like, one, if she's like, let me see your phone, I say no, then there's pretty much something going on. Yeah. I'm like, look, here's my phone. And she'll run it down to the battery's almost dead and go, oh, you got 5%. You might want to charge your back up. So I'm like, I have nothing to hide on my phone. Here, take it and look. You lie.
There's only one reason there's a password on my phone. I got into this with an ex-girlfriend, and I was like, she's like, why's your phone always locked? I'm like, well, at my job, I have numbers.
That's different.
I said, I have numbers for, like, news people, like, news hosts and stuff like that. And if my phone gets lost, I don't want somebody looking at the phone and being like, oh, that's that one. Because it comes from my number.
When I had my iPhone and I had email from work whenever I was traveling, my phone was always locked. And she understood that. But I have no reason for my phone to be locked anymore. So I just like, here, take my phone, have fun with it.
Yep. Women be tripping on fucking passwords. But I digress. We digress.
That's right.
We digress.
What else you got there?
I'll take the cock mantle off.
Was he in it again?
That was it. That was it.
Hey, look. It's my son.
People.
Everybody, look. It's my son.
We love Ian. Ian, love you. But we need more email.
Oh, he'll deliver.
This is the plea.
Jason McNulty, Telethon 2013. Please send emails.
You get a tote bag.
You get a tote bag for every 15 emails you send.
And a thermos.
So we asked a question last week. We said, which new console interface are you more interested in? We use touch controller, the Vita, or Xbox Smart Glass. And I didn't get a lot of responses, I'll be honest with you. The only thing I got was Vita and Vita. Well, Matt, the Matt that's usually on this show.
Matt?
Says Vita.
Awesome.
And then Paul from Germany.
Yes.
Paul from Germany says Vita.
Is Guten Tag a German word?
I don't know. Guten Tag is...
Is that hello?
Guten Tag is... Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
No. Guten Tag, Paul. I'm not being mean.
Well, you can say
Schön
dich zu sehen, which is it's a pleasure to meet you.
Okay.
But you have to snap your feet together
like a Nazi.
You bow your head, you go.
Transcribing sound of music on us.
That's funny.
Totally.
What else you got?
So that's
I work with a guy from East Germany like all day, and I just sit there and fuck with him.
Well, since we're talking about questions, you just want to throw the controller question out there?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So for next week's question, what controller was your favorite controller ever? We'll just say that. I mean, we all said basically different variations of Xbox controllers, but what do you guys think? I like the Afterglows. You like the...
I like the PDP Tron controller, but then again, that's just the base model, you know, controller. I just, when it comes to like something like PlayStation, I just feel they're too small and light. They don't have any like body to them. They're really they're really light, you know.
Especially I feel like I'm going to break it every turn.
It's very plastic, and you can feel the seams. I don't like that on my PDP. There's a seam, but you don't feel it, and you actually feel weight to it with the tumbler that does the rumble pack and everything. And I just prefer that pretty much. And also like the gamepad. I like the Wii U controller where you get used to it, and it's actually pretty comfortable.
The Wii U Pro controller is actually one of my favorite controllers.
Yeah, that one's actually really fun too. So the Wii U gamepad, the Wii U Pro controller, and my PDP.
So I enjoy the one that has the... Because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not like the big fat guy that like sweats after two steps, but I do sweat. I'm very, like I said, my head, I sweat. There's my head gets greasy. Like
we're drowning in it now.
Yeah, my his wife says on my son all the time, he's got a greasy head like his daddy. But I enjoyed the one that has. I know, right? She says, but anyways, I enjoy the one that has the air conditioner, the little vents in it with the air that you can plug in a USB port. Because again, on some games, you know, you play with like the Xbox controller, your hands do sweat. I don't care anything
anybody
what it is.
Do.
Yeah, but you got that air thing there, and like I said, it keeps the hands from that, and you don't get it balmy and clammy and sweaty.
Yeah, Earl's for air cooling.
I really am. I ain't lying to you. And then if you're sweating, you can hold it. Anyways, no, I enjoy that.
I miss the Dreamcast controller. That was a nice thing.
Like Dreamcast was amazing.
And they're the ones who made the Wii U, the brewery. Yeah, Nintendo licensed out to Sega. Sega does peripheral like manufacturing now, and they're the ones who designed the gamepad. Now,
that's where Microsoft got the wider controller from.
It was from Dreamcast. Dreamcast was a very innovative controller.
Yep, that original Xbox controller is fucking huge.
It's huge. But the Dreamcast was a nice controller with
Dreamcast
a nice LCD screen. And it's one of those things where it's like, Sega made that originally, and if I recall, Nintendo did license out to Sega to make the new GamePad controller, which, you know, when you think of it, they did the Dreamcast, which was very innovative at the time with the display.
It was
the
way
card.
Ahead of its time.
It was
That's
really
what
cool.
killed it.
And it had a lot more body to it than even the GameCube controller, which is very thin in the center and around the sides. But Sega, you know, since they do nothing but peripheral stuff, I'm actually kind of happy with that because they do a pretty good job. So.
And again, my brother, his favorite controller, like he always said, was his Mad Catz.
Yeah.
And he still has that to date. He plays and he uses it all the time. So.
Nice.
Jason, yours was the
I loved my large ass fucking Logitech
one. Yeah.
Wireless Xbox controller. Loved it.
Like I remember playing Morrowind on the old Xbox controller, and I was just like, "Run, you fucker!"
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, the Logitech was like. It was like this balance in size between the current 360 controller and the original Xbox controller.
Yeah.
It was like that happy medium in the middle.
My brother also had the one that he used to beat me on the like the Mortal
Kombat. I played
all
of Doom 3 with that controller.
He had the turbo one where you hit it and you could just do the cheat. Oh, I hated that. He played Mortal Kombat and he turned on the turbo.
Oh, turbo.
I hate the turbo controller.
Oh, I hate it because I can never beat him. I'm like, use the turbo.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Is that a little switch there so I can hit it real quick? Look, I'm not using it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I hate the turbo.
That was like one of the worst inventions because people use that Mortal Kombat where you gotta do the fucking and there's
or Street Fighters or anything.
Yeah.
I hate the turbo. But he used to whoop my butt with that and he'd cheat with it. So.
Nice.
First modded controller.
Alright, well, let's go ahead and move on. What do we got next?
News.
Got some news. Yes, we do.
So,
mine's lengthy. I'm sure yours is going to start a conversation. Do you have some news?
Mine was pretty much along the same lines as yours, I think.
Okay. Earl?
No, I'm just ready to listen to it.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll start off.
Okay, since him and I are coming.
So, we do have Walking Dead's game season 2 coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out this fall. So, it's supposed to be all this year, so we're not going to have to wait a ridiculous amount of time for it. So, I don't know what they're going to do with that, because it felt like they finished the story.
No, they left it open at the end.
Yeah,
they really did. The two shadows on
right,
the
so, I mean, I guess we'll find out what that is. But, I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Nice.
You want to keep going?
Now, we'll go ahead and jump into this. Bethesda pulled their team off Skyrim for DLCs to finish up the DLC and put them on a different project, which I said last week might be a whole new thing.
They reviewed it, or they revealed it, Sunday?
Yeah, they revealed it, and it came out. It's going to be called The Evil Within, and it's actually from the creator of Resident Evil. He's taking a look at the state of survival horror games, and he is bawed at it. He's just like, this is bullshit. And he was also the director on Resident Evil 4. It was the last one he worked on. So if it's anything like that, and it is going to be a third-person game, and it's going to be using the id Tech engine they use on Rage, slightly modified, though, so it can be third-person rather than first-person. So it's probably going to look really great, because Rage did look really good.
Well, and
the live-action trailer looked good.
Yeah.
Well, but that was a live-action trailer. Either way, that is a really fucked-up live-action trailer.
It was about the level of Chris Angel doing fucked-up trailer for me, because I watch a lot of horror anyway, so I was just
I thought it was fairly fucked up.
Yeah, it was fucked up. I mean, the cool thing was...
It's not something I would have watched at work.
Yeah, no. The cool thing was the forearm chick. But the cool thing was the bloody forearm chick climbing out of the blood. That's what I was going to say.
That's what I liked.
Yeah, the dude with the box on his head, that was a little...
It looks like Silent Hill.
It's all right. Yeah, it reminded me of Pyramid Head, you know. Yep. But it was all right. You know, I expect the game to have a lot more. This is just something kind of threw together just for fun. But he's going to be taking a lot of his roots from, you know, actual horror movies and his experience with doing Resident Evil and all that. And I'm pretty jazzed to see it.
I'm stoked about it. Yeah. It has the potential to be the first real survival horror in a long time.
Well, it's like Guillermo del Toro had his horror game he was working on that got scrapped, which sucks, so this might be a nice filler for that. But the basic story is you're a detective who's been called in to investigate some strange happenings, and they send you into an asylum. Your name is, I think, Sebastian. That's what it's supposed to be. But either way, you go in, and when you get into the asylum, there's just bodies everywhere, and somebody knocks you out. And when you come to, the asylum has changed. And that's going to be one of the key features. They're going to be playing around with space and time, with, you know, different parallels of the same place and different, you know, time frames, and different parallel dimensions, I guess. Kind of like how they likened it to Silent Hill when you first played Silent Hill and you were, like, say, in the hospital and everything's changed over. that'll be interesting because that was one of my favorite things that Silent Hill did, was by taking an environment and recreating it with something
good mindfuck.
Yeah.
Good mindfuck.
And they're going to be doing that a lot in it. Just a lot of really interesting stuff that they didn't go too far into, but they kind of hinted towards. I definitely looking forward to it, and it should be interesting. I don't remember when they said that the release is going to be.
Late this year, early next year.
Yeah, and it's going to be...
They said current and next-gen.
Yeah, current and next-gen, and I think PC as well, which will probably be my system of choice. Can't wait to actually see some game footage for it, so... But yeah, do you have anything else on it, or...?
Nope. There was just the results of the THQ auctions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what happened with that?
So, Gearbox picked up the Homeworld IP series.
Right on.
Full on, they haven't said exactly what they're going to do with it, obviously, because they just figured it out, but that was a big tweet from them today.
Yeah.
Not sure what's going to happen with Darksiders and Red Faction. Nordic Games picked them up. We'll see what they do with them, because looking at their releases, and they pretty much just did ports to different systems.
Some of the people from THQ, though, went to go make that with Nordic, the people that had done some of the Darksiders stuff. The original art director isn't going to be there, but they're going to reuse that art style. So, I'm a little interested in that.
And then, let's see, what was it? 505 picked up something.
What the fuck?
I'm having a nerdgasm over here, dude. This is amazing.
No, we're letting them watch the Dark Souls 2 12-minute demo thing. And yeah, I showed you this weekend, and
yeah,
it is pretty epic, man.
Oh my
god, just wait till the end.
Amazing.
Just wait till the end when he's on
the bridge. Let Earl watch that. We'll bring this up in a minute.
So anyway, so what else did? What else got pushed around here? What about
the Drawn to Life? The Drawn to Life titles got pushed around. I was trying to remember. I think that's the one 505 got.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I'm having a look at the stories again.
Yeah. On your small ass phone. Well, I guess not that small.
Oh, wait, didn't Nordic pick up Armageddon? Sorry, Red Faction as well?
Yes.
Okay, that's who got it. All right.
Yeah.
Because I love Red Faction Armageddon. That was, like, one of the best Red Faction games, and it's just...
Well, I know really a lot of fans, though, argue with you. The second one was a lot better, though.
Yeah, I just really liked the third one, because graphically it looked great. The story was okay. The gameplay was fun. Just fighting the bugs and stuff was, you know... And also, you know, Toots... Toots, you gotta love Mr. Toots, man. I'm sorry.
And Mr. Toots was pretty funny.
Yeah,
Mr. Toots was great.
Yeah, and I unlocked that just every time I play that game. I go and I unlock Mr. Toots just so I can replay it again with him. So love him.
Yeah, 505 games grabbed the Drawn to Life series. Those were the big notable series grabs that were announced so far. Yeah, that looks like the big series grabs so far that have been announced.
Nice.
So, oh, no. Nordic also got Destroy All Humans for the...
Oh!
For people who love that series.
You know, I didn't like the last one, but other previous entries on that were really ridiculous.
Destroy Humans 1 and 2.
I think you were actually one of the people... We used to talk about that all the time.
I bought Destroy Humans.
I remember when I played it on your PS2, and then I played it on my PS2.
You played on my Xbox. That's right. That's why I got it on originally, yeah.
He just
Thank you, Giant Bomb, for the larger list. But, yeah, Nordic's purchase included Red Faction, MX versus ATV, Destroy All Humans, and Darksiders.
Now, Destroy All Humans was... It's got Zim... From Invader Zim does the voice of the Bane alien lord in the game, and it's hilarious because if you've never played it, they have it on Xbox Marketplace, if I remember, and it is worth buying because it's just one of the funniest games we're into.
It's worth playing through at least once.
Oh yeah,
you'll get hooked and end up playing it more.
If you love classic like 50s and 40s sci-fi with the flying saucer and the big headed alien just going around causing mischief, you get to be the alien, and it's just fucking hilarious.
Looks like they're doing pretty good, cool stuff with Splinter Cell Blacklist on the Wii U too.
Oh yeah,
you need to check that out.
Well, I know I'm gonna be picking up Deus Ex Director's Cut when it comes out on there.
Well, like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll probably go ahead and maybe put Blacklist on there as an option to grab later on because I love Splinter Cell, but I have like every one of them on PC with the exception of. I had Pandora's Tomorrow, but I let an ex-girlfriend borrow it and never got it back. And Steam, unfortunately, does not carry Pandora's Tomorrow. Pandora Tomorrow on Steam. And I'm like, you have every Splinter Cell game except for the second one, Pandora Tomorrow. I do not know why. But and I'm a big stickler about collections. So I might have to skip the Wii version and just buy it on PC first.
Speaking of collections, that's my last piece of news.
Oh.
Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection has been officially announced.
I wonder how much
what's going to come with.
It will be PS3 exclusive, and it's going to come with the 25th anniversary of Metal Gear Solid and HD versions of MGS 2, 3, and Peace Walker, trophy edition of MGS 4, and the Metal Gear Solid VR versions.
Now the VR missions,
Yeah, you're also going to get MSX versions of Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2, as well as extra content for MGS 3.
How much is the price tag on it?
I imagine it'd probably be like
40 nothing or 50 released or 60. Yet.
Yeah.
But it is hitting here this summer. It is releasing here in America.
So I have a question on this.
Yeah.
So it's looking, from what I've watched on here, they don't have the Estus flask. It's going to be the Drop Stone of Healing? Is that what that is?
That could also just be because he might be a healer, like a magic.
No, I think what it is the Estus flask doesn't continue in this game because they're using a different thing.
You.
It's basically... Because it showed him grabbing that and then burst, and it was basically health.
And I've said that the bonfire is the way they kindle. Looks really...
Oh, yeah, the way, yeah.
It shatters.
The lotus flower kind of thing on it. Yeah.
It looks really good.
So check this out, Earl. So, I've been, for the last, like, if you've been hearing the orgasmic noises, that's been Earl just, like, freaking out over here. I've been showing him Dark Souls 2 footage that Trent showed me earlier this weekend.
Well, they got the game director to come on to, one of these shows. Did you post it on the...
I'll post it.
Okay, yeah, because I need to get that at the house.
And they interviewed him. He was going over some of the stuff and that they're going to be doing in Dark Souls 2 and some of the crap they've gone over.
It's like new game engine, new lighting,
new game elements, like that face that was on the stone.
Yeah.
They just showed, they said that they're going to have these giant things, and basically you find this key just a block that goes into different ones, and it'll cause an environmental change.
Like in this one, it lit all the fires across the ceiling.
Yeah, so you can see.
You should watch this.
This is something new where
don't spoil it.
Just watch. But this is, I'm not going to spoil it as he's watching it, but there's an enemy behind a locked door, basically, and you can see him through these bars on top, and of course the guy's pulled out his arrows, and he hit him, and he's able to get him to react, and now the thing's trying to break the door down to get at him. And it's one of those things where they really wanted to make the AI more reactive to you.
Look at that.
And so had he just walked along, it wouldn't have fucked with him. But since he shot it with an arrow, the fucker broke through the wall and is coming at him.
Nice.
Earlier you saw him find in the dungeon where he swapped out his shield for a torch, which you can now carry torches, but you get the handicap of no shield.
Man, I was going to say, he needs a shield.
But he was fighting that one dude and he got it behind him. The guy actually did a backflop right on him to get him.
I liked it.
And that's once again, that's something where they're wanting to kind of make the AI a little bit more reactive to what the player's doing. Some other things that they said, you can actually dual wield. You can have two swords.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's going to be really good.
Yeah,
it's
going to be pretty
badass. But I
wonder
if there's going to be a penalty, though, because, I mean, every game...
Yeah, there's always...
There's always going to be a penalty.
Yeah, there's always a penalty. So.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. This dude over here, this dude with the questions, it looks like I would look like if I was watching, because after every clip, he's all like...
He looks like he just woke up.
He's like, oh my god, what did I just see?
Well, he's a mouth breather. But anyways, here's what I was telling you to check out.
This is amazing.
This is the main character in the game.
You just see him check out the lighting, though. Like,
yeah.
The lighting is so much more dramatic.
He's on top of a plateau, kind of to a wooden bridge, which is like 50 fucking dragons flying through the sky. But this is something they were talking about, how they're going to expand the ways you can die.
Look at this.
Just watch this.
Oh my lord.
Yeah, the dragons are getting pissed off that he's crossing the bridge.
Uh-oh.
So it comes up there and it just... As you can see, snaps the entire bridge and he falls to his death.
So how do you get past that?
They actually say that there is a way to get past it, and it'll explain to you in the game kind of a way to do it. But you know, if you're
thinking man, tell you about right now,
yeah,
Dark Souls or Dark Souls 2, the thinking man's.
It is a shit. It is a shit.
I love the chariots.
Yeah.
Get your ass ran over.
Well, they're showing different ways to die.
Oh,
like,
I
know. Here's where he gets surrounded by bears. Or
something. It's like power of grace, though.
Yeah, they just throw his ass on the side. So it's, I think they're really wanting to kind of bring the environment into the way that you die more. Because before it was just you get killed. Now it's
going to be so much more amazing. You got to think every minute of the game.
Yeah. I love how serious this guy's going to touch.
He looks like a Japanese version of my uncle.
He's just like, you won't die.
He's like, silly Americans, you should die.
Yeah. And he's just very serious during the interview.
And the other dudes go like, oh, cool.
Well, he's a translator.
Yeah,
so, But now it's an epic looking game. It actually looks like, I've seen some of the cinematic stuff in the background where they've shown it. There's actually character dialogue going back and forth. So it seems like there might be more story behind
this one,
which I'm actually fine without it. Because Dark Souls really didn't have a fucking story.
No. Well, it did, but it was just really, it's like...
It was a backseat.
It was really thin.
Else. Yeah,
it was really thin.
It was like, go kill Gwen, that's it, end of story. You know?
Dark Souls 2 is going to be amazing, I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, it's going to be epic. And you know what?
If it comes out this year...
Game of the year, it could be.
If it's even half as good, if it's as good... As the original Dark Souls?
Yeah.
The last one was 80 hours. I'm expecting at least 100, 120 hours.
I don't know. It's about a 40-hour game. It's just we've put a lot of time
in. Yeah, if you put enough time in. My first run-through was 70 because I went everywhere, did everything,
as
grinded the shit out of stuff. So it was 70 hours, and I'm counting grinding in there. So if it's 120, I will just be fucking blown away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they already have a bigger audience now to appeal to from people who have dwindled into the Dark Souls franchise.
Or the Demon's Souls franchise, really.
Yeah. But, two different... things.
They're pretty similar.
They're twin games. They're connected.
There's a lot of similarities.
I know, but I'm talking about like for the actual franchise. It's like they even said that Dark Souls is the unofficial spirit.
It's the game mechanics are almost exactly the same.
Yeah. But either way, people who have stumbled into the Dark franchise stuff, sorry, to the Dark Souls stuff, they have a wider audience to appeal to, so they can make a bigger game. because they know they're going to sell more this time.
You know, we should appeal to the creators of that. We need t-shirts. We talk about Dark Souls.
Yes.
Any other podcast.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Dark Souls.
Trent, I'm going to tell you right now. They just need to let us do Justin you with them. Again, they need to let us just do an interview. Like, look, let's talk. Let's talk
some Dark Souls
about this. Come on. Let's talk about it.
We probably
this.
Need a translator then, because
I don't care. Bring that dude that was wearing the flannel shirt. Bring him into the thing. I'm not going to be there like that one guy was. It's like, oh, I just woke up. What's going on? No.
Well, actually, well, if you actually watch it, he doesn't actually ask a single question.
He
just lets him talk.
Yeah.
You need to ask questions. Like, look, seriously, this is what I need to know.
Yeah.
How many hours? Just a quick run through.
How many hours? How many locations?
The question I'm asking is, are they going to have an easy mode? Because I know they talked about it being more accessible. And I don't want an easy mode, but I don't know if they're going to do it so they can get the sales. Kind of like Mass Effect.
I stand by what I said, where if there's an easy mode, it's going to be an option to turn on easy mode, but the normal mode is going to be...
You know what the easy mode's going
to
be?
They need to give you 1 point achievements for everything.
The easy mode is going to be you can't be invaded by people.
Actually, that would
be awesome.
That would be a good slap with me.
That would be the greatest easy mode ever. Because I'm going to tell you what, that's the one thing that makes me so upset. Because it's like, all right, I got to go do this. It's like, you booted.
What was it? In Demon's Souls, I had the one thing you could get that actually made you disappear from being invaded.
Well, you can still do that in Dark Souls, too.
Yeah, you can do it in Dark Souls. I think it's a ring, and Demon's Souls is a ring
in
Dark Souls.
Well, it's a consumable item.
Yeah.
And I carry it on me at all times, because sometimes when I'm getting ready to go to a boss, I don't want to fuck with this.
And it keeps you offline so nobody can invade you. What they would probably do, and if they did an easy mode where you just couldn't be invaded, they'd probably give you a wearable item that's constant that just keeps you from being
invaded. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right now.
That looks really good.
I want to tell you this right now. I know you say you can get the edible one. Mm-hmm. That does it. I'm going to give you a little hint. You probably already know this, but on the Xbox 360 version, if you're playing Dark Souls, if you go and invite someone to a party chat, it will automatically throw you offline.
Yeah.
So that's the only other way. Is like I said, I don't know what the consumable thing is that you're talking about.
You can put
but
it
I
on
know
mode.
I can go invite
you
somebody.
Can actually, but you can put it in offline.
Well, I don't like to do that. I don't want to mess with the settings. But if I'm afraid, if I don't want to mess with it, I'm just going to invite someone to a party chat and get them on there and say, okay, cool, just stay on here with me for a little bit.
No, I welcome the intruders because I rain fucking fire on them.
You reign supreme.
I've only been killed by maybe three of them.
I've been killed by three or four.
Yeah, and I've been invaded by several, but I have my tricks to get rid of them. Yeah. And it's only when they catch me at a really bad time, like when you were on that staircase and the Duke's.
Yeah, I just
archives.
Wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, that guy totally fucked you. He had a skeleton coming out. The dude jumped from the level up and came down out of nowhere, and I was just like, oh, what a dick, you know? Yeah. And he got him in a corner, and he just beat him up. I hate those guys. I like the guys that when they invade, they at least have the courtesy of stopping.
Well, sometimes you get the guy that does the bow.
Yeah, they do the bow, and you're like, okay, this guy's not going to attack me until
it's
ready.
It's like a duel.
Yeah. So I go ahead, and I get prepped, and I bow to him, and I'm like, okay, so now he knows I'm ready, and I just fucking wail. I let him come at me. So when I know that they're going to probably gank me, my favorite thing, and I'll tell you this as you weren't on when I said this, is get in an area where there's only one entrance.
Yeah.
A nice long hallway where there's only one entrance, and get your back to the door, and make it look like you're AFK. That you're just chilling.
Yeah.
And they will come up for the easy kill. When they come running up, just roll backwards, and you'll go beyond them, and then do a strike when you stand up, and you'll do that fucking death strike, and they're back, and you can kick them off. And that usually takes most of their health away, then you just gotta finish with a nice heavy attack, and they're down. And they get pissed at that. I know pissed. I can't hear them, but I know they're fucking yelling.
Oh, you know they are.
Yeah.
You know
that. I just wanted
video.
Humanity.
You know, I was watching some PvP videos, and that'll be my last Dark Souls thing, and go on to something else.
Yeah.
There was a guy that was purposely searching out hackers kill hackers. So the hackers a lot of times will give themselves like 600,000 life.
Yeah.
And even max life now, I probably only have about 1,300 health, which is a lot, but, you know, that's normal. These guys have like 600,000 health.
Yeah. And actually their endurance is
endurance. So, like, this guy was purposely searching out people's worlds where they're AFK. And so he'd, like, bump them and see if their health bar went down. If they didn't, he would start kicking them until he could get them to a ledge, and then he'd kick them off the ledge and kill them that way.
Yeah.
I watched him take one from the Duke's archives at that first bonfire.
They just kick it all the way.
He kicked them all the way off the thing, past the crystal golems, into the crystal caves, and then kicked them off that ledge.
Nice.
I was watching a PvP one, and the guy was showing, like, a cheap way to get it. and it's in the very beginning starting area. He had the dragon bow.
The snuffle. Oh yeah, the dragon bow.
Yeah, and he got all the dragon arrows, and he went up and jumped, and there's a little ledge right where you come out of the first bonfire.
Yeah,
and
he jumped out.
And the people would spawn right there, and he used to and just hit him, and it would kill him, and then he would wait and hit him, and he kept getting all this humanity, and it was like a cheap way to do it. I was like, man, that's just dirty right there.
Nah, it is, yeah.
So, speaking of other games, though,
this one, which looks, this is my first actual, I've been meaning to watch
stuff. Do
you know
what this is?
It's Metro. Yeah, I've been meaning to sit down and watch stuff.
Like we were talking about it earlier in the break.
I knew what it was the second I saw it, because I've been looking at stills
I need to go back and play Metro 2033, but
yeah, I just
this looks like a more serious version of Fallout.
It's pretty dark, and the lighting looks fantastic, the sky looks fantastic, the shading.
The mutants are really cool. Like
the buildings and the stuff that we're looking at, like the plane here, it looks really, really,
it's
really
all good. Unique pattern. It's not textured. It's actually a done-up piece, but it looks good.
Well, like, I was watching this section, and this was kind of a Let's Play first look kind of thing that they had on their website. And he's looking for gas right now, so he's, like, going through each of these gas cans and shaking them to see if there's any gas inside.
Yeah.
And you'll kind of see as we go along here, of course, he's switching to different weapons and things like that, and they're all pretty cool and futuristic looking, but here's like a mini boss battle that's actually about to start in a second, which is actually pretty neat. So come on, shake the can. Nothing
dirty
in the can.
You make it sound dirty, Justin.
Shake it. Oh, I found it.
Skeet.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw this part earlier when we were talking earlier, Trent.
Yeah, I just put it into play.
Yeah.
But like, just looking at this, like, it has like some of these big epic moments, these big ass monsters. And apparently there's a lot of these big-ass mutated monsters, but there's also, like, these crazy-ass factions that kind of go along with everything. But like I said, it looks like a very survival-based Fallout. Like, I haven't played 2033, and I know I should have at this point. But it just, this is kind of reinvigorating me. We even want to play 2033, to be honest with you. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I think more people should check this out if you're a fan of, like, the whole post-nuclear wasteland kind of thing, because he has the whole Geiger counter in his hand.
Russia, if I remember. Yeah, Metro. Yeah, Metro series is Russia. Yeah,
and Moscow, I think.
Yeah,
it's a Metro.
Yeah,
place. But there were some really cool ideas in these games. It looks like so far. I just don't know if it's fun or not. It looks fun. It looks like something I'd want to play.
Yeah.
But so that's something to be looking forward to. One of the other things is, some of you guys know that I like Fallout a lot, and I like the original games. Not that Bethesda's really done it any harm. It's just really taken it in a different direction.
Oh, is this Wasteland again?
Yeah, I'm going to bring up a little bit about Wasteland.
Is it Wasteland 2 you're going to talk about?
So, I'm wearing a Wasteland 2 t-shirt. But
yeah.
More so than that, Brian Fargo is also working on another project. And I don't know why I didn't know about this, but for one reason or another, I didn't. He had another Kickstarter project he did for the Torment series. So he's doing a new Torment game, Torment Tides of Numeria. And apparently they raised like almost $5 million.
Nice.
So they're also getting Chris Avalon from Obsidian involved, which is also one of the major developers for New Vegas.
That kind of money you can make your game.
Well, that's actually one of the points I'm going to make. So, like, a lot of these bigger budget games have budgets in like $50 to $100 million.
Yeah.
And this is considered a low budget game, but he's doing like a top down isometric third person RPG, which is totally up my alley. With Wasteland looking very much like Fallout Tactics. Multiple people in your squad, and you're going to have a full-on RPG game. Doing the same thing with the whole Planescape, or the Planescape, Torment, Tides of Numeria. So that's something to be looking forward to. I think what had happened is he said, basically, my writers are done with work for Wasteland. All we're doing is basically just getting everything polished and ready to ship. And even with the, like, $4 million they made with the Kickstarter getting it off the ground, they're still going to sell the game, obviously.
Yeah.
So they're already free and clear on their bills right now. Now it's just profit for them. It's just a different way of looking at it. And if you watch any of his Kickstarter videos, he starts off his Kickstarter videos with this kid that's supposed to represent like major CEOs. And he goes into these arguments with about like how a lot of these major companies that he's pitched these ideas to are like, you need 7 months for story writing? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, we want you to do something with multiplayer and, like, first-person shooters. And he's like, that's not really the kind of game that I make. The kind of game that I make is really deep with story.
that has to do a lot with RPGs and kind of you, getting you attached to the main characters. So that's what he did. He worked with Wasteland for like 6-7 months in the story before he jumped into the actual game. And he's doing the same thing with Planescape. He's got this game ready to go right now, or this the writer's ready to go, and he's going to do writing for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And then jump into the actual game. So, which is a really good idea. He's really focused on story. So, either way, he's definitely one of my hero game designers for that reason, is just because he's not big budget anymore. I mean, he was the old In Exile exec, and I guess they're still in exile right now. But, yeah, they haven't done anything for a long time aside from, like, you know, the... like Bard's Tale and stuff like that. So if you guys like the Bard's Tale, this is the same guy that made Bard's Tale, Fallout 1 and 2, and Planescape Torment. So, I mean, it's he's been doing really rich, in-depth RPGs.
So why was he in exile?
No, that's the name of the company.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Yeah. Not in...
No, you mean he actually got, like, exile.
No, he's not exiled.
Wrong.
So one of the other things I want to bring to light is they're talking about a CryEngine 3 version of Monster Hunter right now for Monster Hunter Online. So, in Japan, they have Monster Hunter Online, and a lot of people know I'm a big fan of the game. But...
what? You never talked about it before. What?
So, what I'm getting at is they've... this is something they're working for, the PC version of this. I don't know if it'll be on consoles. But in Japan, they have a PC version where you get with your buddies to go kill monsters.
It's like an MMORPG?
Right, but just with all the action
yeah.
game mechanics. So, they're talking about doing it again with the CryEngine 3 for a U.S. release.
Hmm.
So, looking at it, this is gameplay footage of...
but how's that going to help you? Because you ain't got no friends.
I don't have any Japanese friends, that's true.
You're saying about a Japanese man.
Yeah, he has
you.
One friend on Wii.
Yes, you.
Aww.
Yeah,
I know. How much did he pay
on
you?
On the Wii, yeah, it's you.
How much did he pay you?
Blowjobs and snuggles. Lots of snuggles.
Lots of snuggles.
No, I call them snuggles, damn it.
But so yeah. What I'm hearing is you won't snuggle with a female, but with Justin, it's all right.
No, he snuggles my junk.
No. Yeah.
I like it when my chest hair gets entangled with his back hair.
You might be able to whack that tail off right
he
there.
He sucks on that thing like a rebreather 20
feet below the ocean. that's a cool looking shield.
Yeah, so...
it looks good. I like it.
I really hope they
play it.
I really hope that the Wii U version looks like this. I'll be really excited when they do, because Monster Hunter 3 is just a port. The Wii U version is just a port of the Wii game with extra levels and extra online content. But if they can get Monster Hunter looking like this, I would be extremely happy.
Is this supposed to be actual gameplay they're showing, or is
yes, this is the way the game plays.
Oh, wow.
So that's with CryEngine 3, which, again, pretty decent engine.
Mm-hmm. Looks good.
So, with that, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I really wanted to bring up. I know there's something.
Was there any other emails?
That's all we had this week.
Oh, okay. That's things.
So, bringing to light some things, there was some sales news on just different games that have come out recently. And the crazy thing is, like, Bioshock Infinite, within their first week, sold like 650,000 units.
Yeah.
And then Tomb Raider, within its first month, sold about the same amount of units. And they're saying, yeah, those are doing pretty okay. The things they're not excited about is, I guess, Gears of War Judgment hasn't sold that many. 425,000 units total since it came out.
Wow.
So that, and then God of War sold like 325,000 units since it came out. Yeah. Which is kind of crazy, but if you think about it, like, Gears of War was, like, here's just a franchise offshoot. Not a lot of people are interested in it. I know that Knobs from TVGPs really wants people to play with them. So maybe if I get some time this weekend, I'm going to jump in and play some of this new Horde mode with him, or whatever the hell it's called, Survivor, just to check that out. Because I'll be honest with you, I haven't done the multiplayer, so I don't know how good or bad that is. He claims it's really good. He's a Gears of War fan, though, too, so I don't know. I am, too, but just he's at a different level than I am.
You love Horde mode, so...
I love Horde mode.
So Survivor's got to be appealing to you, so...
Right, and that would be, if it's as appealing to me, then I can put it back up in the fours bracket, but...
I'd hate to say it, but it's like, I said this with God of War when it came out. When it was coming out, I was like, I'm just not interested anymore, because...
we've had God of War games for,
it's
what,
the same
15
shit.
Years
it's
almost?
Not, they need to do something new with it, because it's just the same shit. It might look a little better, but it's still the same shit.
Well, let's face it, against some reinvented games, and you can say what you will about them all you want. Tomb Raider and Bioshock Infinite are really reinventions of series.
Yeah, they're hard contenders.
You can't come out and with something like Gears of War Judgment or God of War Ascension that are basically almost like offshoots.
Yeah.
To compete against games like that. They're just not going to.
Yeah, plus, you know, to be honest, I mean, God of War was a great game. I love God of War. It was story. It was epic. It was badass.
True.
It was amazing.
What else are you going to do with it, though?
That was about it for me. God of War 2, I just didn't like as much. God of War 3, I didn't bother playing. I watched it being played, and it just was boring. The story sucked, in my opinion. And now they're doing God of War Ascension, and I was just like, you know, I'm not that interested. And I guess it's just the same shit again. Yeah. Gears of War Judgment. Gears of War 3 got me back into Gears of War, so it's actually a pretty fun game, mainly for Horde mode. But I really had no interest in Judgment because it's a prequel, pretty much. Yeah. And it just didn't seem like the right direction to take it at the time. They needed to do something, you know, else with it. But either way,
I view it as filler. But
yeah, very much.
So the only other bit of news that I had is I did want to bring up the Deadpool game.
Oh yeah.
That's slated to be released June 25th.
Oh, that early?
With a $50 price tag, $49.99, and $39.99 for PC.
Nice. I'll probably definitely pick that up on PC.
That's a pretty good price for PC.
Yeah, the stuff I saw for it looks hilarious.
Definitely gotta get Deadpool. Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, just for the comedy.
And everything I've seen for the previews shows it being the good Deadpool humor. So.
Oh, yeah.
And just a side note, because I see what he's looking at. And we're talking about it at work today. So apparently, the Rob Zombie movie, Lords of Salem, is going straight to DVD.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they were saying. It got really bad reviews, and everyone's like turned on Rob Zombie. But again, it said it should be straight to DVD probably next week.
Here's my thing with Rob Zombie and movies. Okay, the guy has some good taste in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because I
love classic horror.
And I love classic horror. You know, I like White Zombie, the actual movie, not the band. Yeah, yeah. I like the band too. Yeah, but I'm just saying
you do the Devil's Reject and you start off on a thing up here.
He started off with the House of Thousand Corpses, which was fucking ass. Yeah, that was a horrible movie. Fuck his wife. That was a horrible movie. That had more of a tangible story.
It felt like Outlaws on the Run. That's what it was.
Yeah, it had more almost of a tangible story.
It's almost like a western with like psychos.
Yeah, and it was more of a story than it actually worked, and it was pretty good. And then even with that, he did was it The Haunted World of El Super Beasto?
Uh-huh.
That was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny. I was just like, whatever, you know. And then Halloween came out.
Listen, I enjoyed the... Here's the thing. I got a friend who let me... I watched the one that they did that had a little timer on the bottom that they blacked out. Uh-huh. And the way he escaped from the asylum on that was totally different than what they did when they released the movie.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that version a lot better.
Okay, well, so I don't know what happened in that version, but when I went to go see that was with my ex.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there watching this movie, and the first hour is all this, you know, him in the asylum. Him as a kid, why he went to the asylum, him in the asylum. When he escaped the asylum, I was like, this is pretty good. The thing I hated about the fucking movie was the time frame. You could not tell when the movie was taking place.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, he had a Kiss shirt on, so he knew it was released in the 70s, maybe the 80s, you don't know. And then by the time that the movie actually got in there, I didn't know what era it was until somebody pulled out a cell phone about an hour and 20 minutes into it, and I was like, cell phone, okay, modern day. What I did was we went into the very back of the theater and we fucked. That's what we did for the rest of the theater, for the rest of the film, because they were killing people who did not die in the originals. They were letting people live who were supposed to die there. They fucked the whole story up.
So
the first half rocked.
Yeah.
The second half sucked.
So in the one that they released in the theaters, he escaped when he killed all the guards.
Yeah.
In the one that they did, the one that I saw, the one that he didn't release.
Yeah.
So you had the janitor dude who liked him.
Yeah, he was.
And friend. Then you had his little fuck up of an assistant who liked to taunt him.
Yeah.
Well, and the one that they had before that, because you saw there, he was like, "Hey, don't touch the masks. That's his."
Yeah.
Well, they go down to
one of the cells, and it's this mentally challenged chick. Take her, go into his room, and just start to rape her on the bed. Well, he goes up, and I call it his killing mask. Yeah. That's what I refer to it as. But one of them takes one off, and they're wearing it, and they're making fun of it and stuff. And he gets mad and goes gets his killing mask and puts it on, freaking kills the first dude. So now the little fucking one that was taunting him starts to run, and he stalks him down and kills him. And then the girl goes back in there, and the girl's all on the bed. And
that's
he
the
ends
version
up,
I saw.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, takes okay. her back, and then he
yeah.
escapes.
Yeah.
Then he escapes.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the one they did is he killed all the guards. And that one, he never killed any guards. He just killed the little janitor dude that was raping the girl and his buddy.
Okay.
And that was it. And that's the greatest one I liked. I watched the one that he killed the guards. I was like, this doesn't do it.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of the whole movie is when he goes into the... He's in the drug stop, and he's taking, and he's in the back, and he's in the toilet, and the dude's like, "Do you know who I am?" And he's taking a shit, and he starts banging on the door, and he just demolishes that entire bathroom and kills the guy. That's my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah, I don't know, I just Halloween was just one of those things where I was like, he got a good idea for cast. I mean, he had Malcolm McDowell in there,
and he had his wife
playing Donald Pleasance's character, which I love Donald Pleasance. He's a good actor. He's been in great movies, and one of my favorite.
I think my main problem, and I probably would have liked Halloween better had I not gone in with such high expectations.
I didn't go in with high expectations because I knew it was Rob Zombie and Devil's Rejects, and House of Thousand Corpses has already come out, and I was judging this on not Devil's Rejects. I thought that was a one-off. I knew it was a fucking one-off. I knew this is probably going to be stupid.
I was hoping the Devil's Rejects magic would come back for Halloween, and it just didn't happen.
I knew that he'd want to change things around for his own twist, and they would be bad choices. And they were bad choices, in my opinion. The big titty sheriff's daughter didn't die. Fuck that. She's supposed to die. She has horrible saggy boobs in the original killer. And I was very mad about that. By the way, Rob Zombie is one of those things where I just... the man has good taste in movies. It's just when it comes to the writing.
His own,
when it comes to the writing, and he puts his wife in everything, and I cannot stand that chick. So,
but look at it this way. It was at least better than Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, what was better just than saying. That? You know what's better than that is any movie by Ed Wood. Was better than Rob Zombie.
I enjoyed Freddy versus Jason. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I
enjoyed it. I liked it when the black girl died.
You just like watching women die. That's just your thing.
Not always. But she had a lip on her, and I was happy when she died. I was like, finally. I hate the whole aspect of the dumb bitch syndrome. That's what I hate.
We're back to that, are we?
You
don't
want to
get me started again.
I hate that, because they're all like, they do stupid things. Like, why are you going down the basement? You know something's down there, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go down here, and there's no light. I hope I don't die. You know you're dumb.
I have yet to date a woman that I could confidently say, I think that she would survive. that's basically what it comes to. And I really do think about those things when I'm dating somebody. I'm like, I think to myself, okay, if it was a zombie apocalypse and they got bit, would I kill them immediately or would I wait until they turn? Most of them I would have killed immediately. And then I ask myself, if it was a horror movie, are they the bitch that would run upstairs, downstairs, or just jump through the fucking window and live? And I'm like, well...
She'd go downstairs.
She'd probably go upstairs.
See, that's why I married my wife, because I'm fully confident Michael Myers walks into my house... My wife is punching him through the fucking wall and then tossing him out a window.
Even that, no. They gotta do what Jamie Lee Curtis did. Jump out the window. And that's what she did. She passed out for a little bit, but hey, she survived.
That's right.
She survived. And then she showed her boobs in trading places, and it was great. But either way, and she did that really hot dance in True Lies.
That was the one time
Jamie Lee Curtis was hot.
That was the one time. Oh yeah, Trading Places, man. She looked pretty good in that.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She was
you
nice.
Got to see the boobs.
Yeah, she's kind of mannish, though.
Dude, no, just they ever watched Trading Places? That's like one of the best Dan Aykroyd movies.
That's one of the greatest ones ever.
Dude.
Trading Places, Dan Aykroyd and Murphy, and you get to see Jamie Lee Curtis's tits in it, and it's really it's a monumental scene. Just straight up flash. Right. You're like,
just
okay,
boom.
I know you got something else to go.
Blue ball.
What do you got, Justin?
I was going to say, so I've been looking at pictures of screenshots from A Machine for Pigs, which is a sequel for
Amnesia.
And they revamped the game engine. There's not really a lot out on it right now, They've been talking about this now for, what, a year and a half?
Yeah, all they said was new locations, new characters, new story, new engine. Or
if you haven't played it, I still can't finish it. It is the most terrifying game I've ever played in my entire life.
What is it? A machine for pigs?
No, no, the original Amnesia.
Amnesia.
Like Descent or Dark Descent, whatever.
Yeah.
It's on Steam usually for $20, and it goes on sale for like 5 or 10, and it is...
It's
scary.
It's
a good game.
It's at a reasonable computer load to run it. I mean, you need something that at least has a graphics card. I tried to run it on something without a graphics card, just a chipset, and it didn't do too well. It would freeze up quite a bit.
It's, what is it about? Like, last first gen Xbox graphics.
Yeah, just
first
about.
Gen Xbox 360.
Yeah, but it was like a Radeon 4 or something chipset wouldn't run it. So you need to have something a little bit newer than that to run it if you don't have a graphics card. But it's worth it. They never put it out on Xbox for Marketplace or anything.
No, it's scary as shit.
It's a good game. Really good game.
I love it.
It's from the same guy who did Penumbra, which is a really good series, too.
So, and that's all I have for news.
Yay!
So, I was going to say, Gauntlet, we have that slated for, still, May 4th. I'll be late. Jason and Trent will be on. Jason just needs to write a bio so I can put your gamer tag on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I got my bio to write. I got my top 10 games.
Those are your all's assignments.
I'll email it to you tomorrow.
Nice. So,
say bike.
You mind if I go ahead and close it out?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
We've been on here a while. So, without further ado, by the time you guys are listening to this, Dead Island Reptide will have already been out. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen will have been out. We'll tell you guys about that next week, so don't worry about pre-ordering it yet. Don't Starve will be out. You should order that. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a good game.
I may have played the new Star Trek game or not by that point, we'll just see.
Oh, wait. Don't Starve still has the early access.
Huh?
Don't Starve still has the early access on Steam. So
not by the time we're recording this.
Oh, okay, never mind.
By the time that we release this, it would have already been released.
Oh, never mind then. Yeah.
Fire Pro Wrestling Returns!
Yeah, some of these I just skip over.
Excitebike!
The Elite Edition for XCOM comes out in a couple of days. By the time you get this, you should check that out.
Yeah, they Raymond, screwed up the first-person version of XCOM.
And then on Thursday this week, if you listen to this day one, Poker Night 2 is coming out on PC and Mac.
Brothers.
I really want to play that. I got a lot of shit to play this week. We'll see if I get through it all.
Pez! Oh, it's Pez. Never mind.
So, that being said, something I'm super excited about, the standalone DLC for Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon.
That comes out the week after this releases. That looks fucking epic. I am down with some Blood Dragon. The week after that, we got Deus Ex, the director's cut for Wii U. And May 12th, so far, still, Metro.
It's going to be amazing right there.
I don't know.
Metro Juarez was good.
Not over Metro Last Light.
Oh, yeah.
Call of Juarez was good.
The original was alright. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, Metro comes out May 14th. The following week, Resident Evil Revelations unveiled.
What about Call of Juarez? Was it the cartel?
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah, no.
What is like the crossover, like modern generation of
like
fast cars
and all that? And
you just take it for the game.
It looks cool. It looks like it might be good, but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, if you just take it for what the game is, it was all right.
So that's coming out for PC only.
Whatever helps you sleep, man.
Hey, you know, sometimes you just want a game where you're gonna go shoot everything. And you know, that's what you get.
And then you just play something better.
Look.
Or you play
sometimes,
something shitty that's at least fun. Like
listen, sometimes it's given to you, and you just play it.
Do you know what?
I want to
play a game where I just shoot everything dead. I just go play Call of Duty multiplayer and beat up on the 12-year-olds.
You know, that's a lie, because you get killed by campers, and you bitch about it, then you turn it off. I've been there. You've done it.
Just go on Warcraft and camp noobs and fucking Elwynn Forest.
Yes!
Camp the elves.
Yeah, just camp the shit out of those motherfuckers.
So, that being said, those are the new games coming out. I didn't realize Metro was coming out that quick.
Yeah, it is.
I need to play that, like, next weekend or something. Jesus Christ. So, we have a big assortment of games coming out soon.
Big.
We'll at least have two of those to talk about. We can talk about three. Because I got Dead Island on the download now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dark Arisen.
I'll have played through some of Dead Island's story by then.
Yeah, I'm not buying anything till the first of the month. So I'm gonna be a little behind, but yeah,
that's okay. Well, you can talk about Don't Starve. Can bring that back up.
Yeah. Well, I
after they've done all the finishing touches.
Did I buy that?
No, you got a copy from me, I think.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I did.
We also need to figure out a contest because I have a copy of XCOM to give away on PC.
Yeah.
And I also have a copy of what else did I get?
The original Dead Island Collector's Edition I have on PC now as an extra copy. So, anyways, we'll figure out something for that so we can give them away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, anyways, that's the show. Find us on... on Xbox. Find us on... find us on iTunes. Search Tiltcast. Like us. Leave a review. Let us know how you feel about us. Find us on Stitcher, as Earl was able to listen to us at work.
Stitcher.
You could use it on just about everything.
It's even got an app for your smartphone, y'all.
Find us on Facebook.com/Tiltcast. Then like us so you can see the new stuff I post. As well as find us on Twitter.com/Tiltcast where I post the episodes. And at some point, I just need to start using that more. But I just don't have time. So, with that, check us out next week.
Yep.
And don't forget Gauntlet on the 4th with Mass Effect 3.
Yep, yep.
Multiplayer.
Yep.
Multiplayer.
So with that, we'll see you guys later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.